Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
security. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Oh, my goodness, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up, get to me. Now, there have been some mighty changes, and I don't want to make too much of it, and I don't want to make too little of it. So I'm in a bit of a quandary about this election and these election results. I think some changes have been made. I think that the largest thing that has occurred out of these elections, these elections all across the country, is the possibility of change. The possibility of change. When I come back, I'll be talking to you about what I'm going to be talking about all this morning. The possibility of change is all across this country due to the election results. It's going to be a full hour. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a full show. Double fasten your seatbelt. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Ellen. I'm with the Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis, and I invite you to tune in every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. for the Electric Shock Radio Hour. This program is dedicated to investigations and exposure of psychiatric abuses of human rights. Tune in and find out what's happening in our society and what you can do to help. That's the Electric Shock Radio Hour, 9 p.m. Saturday nights, here on WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And heads up on this morning's conversation, we're going to talk about in the next hour how minimum wage won all across the nation. All across the nation. We're going to take a look at some of the places that it won, some of the unlikely places that it won. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the big changes that are coming in healthcare as a result of the elections. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about, is that marijuana? Yeah, it looks like we're going to be talking about marijuana. Marijuana won also. And that's something we're going to be talking about that all this morning. Changes across the nation, changes across this country due to the seismic election that took place on Tuesday, a week ago today, and the dust is still settling. I also want to give you all a heads up. Today there will be a hearing on adoption promotion in Missouri at the University of Missouri, the St. Louis J.C. Penney Conference Center Summit Lounge. There will be a committee of state elected officials that will be talking about studying the issue of adoption promotion. They want to study the recruitment and retention of foster and adoptive parents in Missouri. They want to examine the effectiveness of funding with regard to the promotion of adoption of foster children in this state. And they want to examine the practices and outreach efforts that this state has undergone in the past and make recommendations to prove their effectiveness. That is today from 12 to 1 at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, J.C. Penney Conference Center Summit Lounge. That is today. Those of you that are interested in this or know someone, please pass the word on. That's today. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I've been talking about the changes that have occurred as a result of these elections, huh? There's some other changes. Faith-based changes, perhaps? I think there's a faith-based change out here. Pastor Steve Madison. He pastors Livermore Evangelical Church. He pastors somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 people. That's a lot of folks. On election day, he urged his congregation to go out. On the Sunday before Election Day, he urged his congregation to go out and to vote. He said he didn't push any issues. He didn't push any candidates. He just made it clear that the parishioners should fulfill their moral duty to vote. Huh? Hath thou forsaken me? Has there been a faith-based change? Huh. Evangelical leaders in California are saying, seeing the relationship between the Republicans and themselves weakening. They said that they believe that voting based solely on a party affiliation doesn't allow faith to enter politics as it should. Jesus wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. I think the church needs to transcend party lines. The church needs to say, the Bible is my platform. Hath thou forsaken me, evangelicals? Huh. And more news on the Bible front. Remember the, told you a while ago about a camp, Jesus camp. Remember I told you the story about Jesus camp? Well, it looks like Jesus camp is shutting down. Jesus camp is shutting down. You think that it had something to do with the fact that Haggard, you know, the pastor that paid for meth and paid a male prostitute and preached that you should vote against same-sex marriages. You think that Jesus camp shut down because that pastor was a central part of the Jesus camp movie? Or do you think Jesus camp shut down because the children were shown worshiping a photograph of Boy George? Or do you think Jesus camp shut down because the head of the camp said that she was creating little soldiers like other countries that would die for their religion? I don't know. Pick one. It seems like the leader of Jesus camp said that it was too dangerous for them to continue to be in existence. Yeah, dangerous to reality. So what happens, I mean, this, they wouldn't say that their election is, I mean, that their the ending of Jesus Camp has much to do with this election, but I would disagree. I see a connection between, I see a connection between what happened on Tuesday. Because what happened on Tuesday is a result of things that have been percolating along in this country. Front page of USA Today. 61% of Americans expect the Democrats to deliver. Americans are pinning their hopes for this country's future on the incoming Democratic Congress and its largely unfamiliar leaders. Things have been percolating along in this nation that have resulted in, and it's an inescapable result, actually. Of course, this country was going to conclude after everything that was happening. Of course, this country was going to conclude that something like a Jesus camp cannot stand. A camp highlighting hypocrites, advocating idol worship of the dumbest kid in the class, and advocating violence in the name of religion. Of course, it cannot stand. +1 877 920 WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, and again, I'm having a meeting on Thursday for those of you that would like to be part of the wake-up call band. I'm going to be talking about it, trying to get it together Thursday at 1 o'clock. You need to give me a call if you are interested. 367-2743, that's 367-2743. I think I know the name of it. I think it's how y'all want to be part of Proposition Funk. Proposition Funk, give me a call at 367-2743, 367-2743. I would be interested in hearing from you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Leah.
Good morning.
Two things about the upcoming election for presidency and Sunday. Did you see Meet the Press Sunday with...
It was disgusting. Why was Lieberman on there? Out of all the people in the world to talk to, Lieberman is not even a Democrat, and the Democrats won. It's disgusting.
That is. It was. I told my husband, cut it off. I forgot his name.
Tim Russert?
No, the one that was on before Lieberman going to run for president.
McCain?
McCain.
Mm-hmm.
He was disgusting because he said, well, I'm going to run on the same base that Reagan ran on. Give me a break. But did you hear this morning that Rudy Giuliani?
Rudy Giuliani is opening up an exploratory committee to do, well, you know, and I understand why Rudy Giuliani is doing that because Rudy Giuliani is pro-choice. Rudy Giuliani is pro-gay marriage. Rudy Giuliani endorsed Cuomo for governor. Rudy Giuliani has a lot of social issues that he is perceived as, or is, voted on those, or it supports those issues. But what has happened is that the Republican conservatives have been knocked off. When you have Allen losing, when you have Santorum losing, and when you have Bill Frist losing as well,
yeah.
It's open. He thinks he's got a shot at it.
Yeah.
When America gets a good look at Rudy Giuliani, ain't nobody going to want to embrace no Rudy Giuliani.
He shouldn't even be elected to Dorchester because it was under his watch that Eleanor Bumpus, Avenue de Ablo. It was a whole bunch of them that was, that police department
that's
was
right.
ran like a
that's
capo.
Right. That's right.
And if you put this, even think about voting for this man, you got to be crazy.
Yep.
You know, so I...
People voted for Boy George. We just have to get the truth out there, okay?
Okay.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And I don't. And I'm sorry if y'all don't watch this, but I am in love with Emmett Smith. He is such a cutie. Oh! Oh, he's such a cutie, and he can dance. Oh! I'm in love with him. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Breakfast at Sonic. Southbound 170 at Olive, look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane's blocked. Westbound 70 at Mid Rivers, there's a vehicle on fire, believed to be a tractor trailer, blocking the right lane. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers, expect stop and go as a result of the morning rush plus that delay. Northbound 270 is heavy on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to 270 looks for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill all the way in to 270, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to delay a bit. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's looking good rolling into the landing. And Lee May Ferry at 255, there's a report of an accident on ramp to westbound 255. Other than that, everything looks fairly good at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Breakfast at Sonic. Drive into Sonic this morning for their steak, egg, and cheese burrito. Thinly sliced steak, egg, and cheese wrapped in a warm tortilla. It's a hearty way to start your day. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy, a 50% chance of light rain throughout the day today with a high around 50. This evening, rain is likely with a low in the mid-40s. Wednesday, windy. Expect rain with a high only in the upper 40s. And Wednesday evening, everything changes even more so. Colder, windy, occasional rain until early morning, then snow after midnight. Light snow accumulations are expected with a low in the mid-30s. And on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow early in the morning, then chance of snow and rain throughout the late morning hours with a high only in the lower 40s. Currently, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Michael.
Help us, Michael. We are completely submerged in water, and the water is coming into the car.
I'm contacting emergency services.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
How can I help you?
This is Michael with OnStar. I've got a vehicle being washed off the road, Highway 171. Ma'am?
Yes, yeah, there's about five other cars surrounded in water as well.
Okay, we'll dispatch fire, rescue, and police to you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan? Hey, buddy, I need you to be a big boy for me. I've got the police and the fire department on their way.
Here comes somebody.
Okay, it's going to be okay.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services cost only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning wake-up call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Come, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And in the next hour, we're going to be talking about minimum wage wins all across this country. A week after the election, the dust is still settling from all of the changes, all of the successes, all of the victories across the country, and we're going to be examining those all morning long. In the next hour, the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be looking at the minimum wage wins all across this country. We won one here in Missouri, but it wasn't just here. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about healthcare. Some healthcare opportunities that are in front of us now as a result of this win. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking about marijuana. Marijuana? We're going to be talking about marijuana and the winds that marijuana had and what that says about or for our nation. So it's going to be a full morning of assessing the election results from a week ago. Stay with me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a point of correction. Tim Russert did indicate that he had invited Nancy Pelosi and the Howard Dean, and they had both declined. So, I mean, I'm happy for our victory on Tuesday, but I just want to make that point of clarification. They were invited and both declined.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know, because the record of Tim Russert has been – hello? Why'd you run away? The record of Tim Russert has been one of favoring, focusing on, emphasizing. If you look at the types of guests and guests that he has had, and also if you look at the types of reporters that he's asked on his show, it has been unlike him to have a show of full inclusion. So it is good to know that he did invite those two, and it's good to know that they declined. 1-877-920-WGNU. Kathy.
Yes. Congratulations on the award, Liz.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
Thank I you. Have two comments. One, has Obama been to New Orleans yet?
I don't know. The last time that I checked was when this summer with my interns, and as of this summer, he had not been.
I wonder why. And the other thing is, after those people that were talking to you yesterday go to the School of the Americas, could you update us on what happened down there to them? That was really horrible.
Okay. You liked that show yesterday.
Oh, God, yes, but it was so informative.
Yes.
So horrifying.
Yes, it was.
And just think, Colin Powell was around when that happened in Haiti and when it happened in those other countries down there in the
it's still happening. I mean, well if you look at it, you have Bill Gates was around when that was happening.
Sure.
When you have Donald Rumsfeld was around when that was happening. George Bush's father was around when that was happening. Mm-hmm. All of those people were around when that was happening. Absolutely. And when we talk about, Kathy, the immigration challenges that confront our nation, part of the challenges that confront our nation with immigrants, with undocumented immigrants, is because of the instability that has been wrought by the policies and the actions of this government.
Right.
This government has slaughtered tens of thousands of people, or trained people to slaughter tens of thousands of people. And as a result of that, people from Guatemala, people from Central America are coming through Mexico looking for jobs because their homes have been destabilized because of what has happened, what this country has done. And we have a government that throws the rock and hides the hand all the time.
Well, see, I work with two girls from Nicaragua,
mm-hmm.
and they were rich, and they were hiding. Well, I work with them in Texas, okay? They were hiding because the government in Nicaragua also had, the crooked one, also had some support from America, and they told the rich people, you give us your land, or you give us your money, and you get out of town, we'll kill all of you.
Mm.
And they flew, they came to Houston, and they showed me their house. They had trees in their houses, Lynn. I mean, tall trees. That's how fabulous. Well, I think, Carol, I said, if I was living in your country, I probably wouldn't be able to come to your house. They said, oh, yes, you would. They're very gracious people.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay, take care. And congratulations
again. Thank you.
You deserve it, girl.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. And I just want to put a shout out there to all of the people that put those. There's a front page story. Let me do it this way. There's a front page story on the New York, on the front of the New York Times. It's not New York Times, the New York Times. And there's a front page story, in fact, a front page story that's right here from the state of Missouri. A picture of someone taking down Jim Talent signs. And it's a complaint that we talked about on Eye on the Loo on Thursday. Irene talked about this. People need to take down their signs. So this is a shout out there to the folks that were running the anti-cigarette campaign. Take down your signs. Your signs are the ones that are all over North St. Louis. Y'all need to come and take down their signs. And that's what the headline of this story on the New York Times says. After a vote, the public demands change. Take down the signs. Only shallow candidates have lots of volunteers ready to put the signs out, but not enough volunteers to take them down. That's what a former Iowa legislator and founder of VictoryStore.com that sold more than 5 million yard and roadway signs this year, double that they did from 2004. That's a lot of signs to deal with, and they're slackers if they can't get them down within a week of the election. And for the last year, county and local officials in at least 9 states have imposed new restrictions on where political signs can go up and how long they can be left up. Delaware began charging campaigns $25 for each sign still on public property 30 days after election. Virginia highway officials have deputized volunteers in the Adopt a Highway program to remove the signs from public property. In Columbus, Ohio, the traffic administrator mails letters to all the candidates the day after the election, imploring them to take the signs down within 2 weeks. In Memphis, the environmental court can impose fines of $50 per sign found on public property. And they've already heard cases against Bob Corker and Harold Ford. Campaigns are buying more signs. They need to take the signs down. And the biggest offender that I have seen in my community are the people that were anti-smoking. that wanted the smoking tax to pass, they need to take their little yard signs down. 1-877-920-WGNU, and that's my lecture for this morning. Please don't forget, those of you that are interested in this, it's really an important thing, a hearing on adoption promotion in Missouri to study recruitment and retention of foster and adoptive parents in Missouri. That's going to happen today at 12 o'clock at the University of Missouri St. Louis J.C. Penney Conference Center Summit Lounge. You need to be there because there aren't enough people out here that know about foster care, about adopting through foster care, and you need to weigh in on this. And that's today at 12 o'clock, University of Missouri, St. Louis, J.C. Penney Conference Center Summit Lounge, and they will be meeting to study the recruitment and retention of foster and adoptive parents in Missouri. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 Award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
You in need of financial information that can change your life? Then you need to listen to the Pastor's Hour to Empower each and every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on WGNU. Hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Robani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown. It's designed to provide solutions to the needs of the people, the church, pastors, seniors, youth, and the community at large. Remember, your life does have value. All you need to do is unlock the potential. Find out how on the Pastor's Hour to Empower every Tuesday night at 8 here on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You got to wonder about the you got to wonder about what's going on in the heads of some of these folks that have ambitions beyond their current seats. Republicans, Democrats alike. You got to wonder sometimes what goes on in their heads. I think it was a smart call for Nancy Pelosi and for Howard Dean not to appear on a show with Tim Russert and Joe Lieberman. I don't blame them. You have to ask the question of why Joe Lieberman was asked to be on the show when this was about a Democratic wins all across the country, a week after historic wins. You have to ask the question of why a Joe Lieberman was invited to be profiled on a day where it was about, in all fairness, it was about a celebration for the Democratic Party. And I don't blame them for not wanting to appear on Meet the Press with Joe Lieberman. That's ridiculous. That is an absolutely ridiculous thing. And when you look at the interviews that were scheduled after the election, where the Republicans won, you didn't see Democrats on the show the next show. You didn't see Democrats very often on the show thereafter. So it's ridiculous for Tim Russert. It's ridiculous for Meet the Press to ask Howard Dean and Nancy Pelosi to share the stage with Joe Lieberman, who ran against the Democratic Party and was elected by the majority of Republicans. That's ridiculous. That's a setup, and that's a continuation of what Meet the Press does. You have to wonder what's in people's minds. When you look at John McCain, you have to wonder what's in his mind, what could possibly be going on in your mind. Only one out of seven Americans agree with John McCain and his position on war. Only one out of seven Americans agree with him. Why on earth are you staking out the position that you're staking out? It's ridiculous. But if you want to be stuck on stupid, I suppose we need to be happy with all Republicans that are stuck on stupid, as long as they're not in the majority. 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, I'm looking for folks to be part of Proposition Funk. That's the wake-up call band that I'm putting together. You need to give me a call at 367-2743 if you are interested. We're meeting at 1 o'clock on Thursday, 1-877-920-WGNU. So if you're interested in being part of the wake-up call band, that's Proposition Funk, you need to give me a call at 367-2743 or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You're on the wake-up call.
Ms. Brown, I want to agree with you about this Meet the Press. Now, I watched that show, too, and I want to make some corrections. That show was not built around Nancy Pelosi or Howard Dean. Matter of fact, that particular Sunday, in other words, Ms. Brown, they wasn't even on the show. It was all built around Joe Lieberman and the man, what's his name, he's running you just called his name, Arizona.
Oh, John McCain.
It was built around John McCain and
Joe Lieberman. That's a Republican.
About Nancy Pelosi. How did they
and why were either one of them on the show?
Ms. Brown, Tim Russert didn't even bring them up. It was built around those two other people.
Now, somebody called and said, well, Tim Russert said he invited Nancy
Pelosi. Ms. Brown, I watched that show. That didn't come out of my mouth. I even watched when they repeat the show on the radio. Those people, it wasn't built around Nancy Pelosi. How that person told you a story, Ms. Brown.
I'm going to go back and watch.
Like you say, that other man.
I T-voted. I will go back and watch it.
Ms. Brown, you watch what come out of Tim Russert's mouth. Nancy Pelosi and Howard Dean, what about that show that Sunday?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that John McCain or Joe Lieberman had a second on that show.
I agree with you. And Tim Russert didn't even mention Howard Dean or Nancy Pelosi. But Ms. Brown, also I'm calling you about, is there a chance the man, the person who got Mark Foley's seat, is he going to be able to hold that seat in all that Republican jurisdiction down there, Ms. Brown?
Uh-huh.
I hope he'll be able to hold that seat, Ms. Brown.
We mean whether he will get it in 2 years?
Yes, ma'am.
It's going to be very interesting to see if he gets it in 2 years, or keeps it in 2 years.
I hope he keeps that seat, Ms. Brown. Like I said, this party, the party of the Republicans for 12 years. They couldn't fix Medicare. They couldn't fix nothing. All they care about is getting rich. They care nothing about people, Ms. Brown. Middle class or poor, nothing. The Democrats are the ones who care about people, whether the Republicans like it or not. And I don't believe in separation. I believe in separation of church and state, Ms. Brown. That's like fixing all
the Well, the Democratic Party has some folks in there who do care about poor people, more people than the Republican Party does. And I think that there are members within the Democratic Party that need to step up and to be part of this progressive, a progressive coalition.
I agree with you, Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown, I'm just hoping that there will be, the Democrat Party will be the ones to fix this mess in Iraq. They was always saying that the Democrat Party doesn't know anything about foreign affairs or domestic affairs, but I believe it's going to be the Democrat Party to fix this mess in Iraq as well, Ms. Brown.
All right.
I hope they will step up like you said, Ms. Brown. And Ms. Brown, I also enjoyed your program yesterday about Howard Dean, another man who's mad with Howard Dean. I want Howard Dean to stay at the Democratic Party. The other man, he would either go shut up and go sit down somewhere, Ms. Brown.
You're talking about Harold Ford.
No, no, the other man, Ms. Brown, who's mad with Howard Dean.
Oh, Emmanuel.
No, keep going, other man. Keep going. It's another one, too. You say he was mad with Howard Dean, too.
Okay, I don't remember where.
He had something to do with, he's mad to that woman who's got something to do with the Republican Party, but he's had something to do with the Democrat Party. He's mad with Howard Dean. He was
okay.
Talking about yesterday.
Okay.
If you think of the man, Ms. Brown, call his name, but I want Howard Dean to remain over the Democrat Party. You have a nice day, Ms. Brown.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. He's talking about James Carville. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andre, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I had to laugh when I saw what happened with Rumsfeld the other day. But one of the reasons I laughed is because we've seen this movie before, and you actually did like it, I think. You know the title. It's called Throw Mama from the Train.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. But I did appreciate what you did yesterday with the gentleman who was on talking about Gates. Because I heard that name and I thought about, is he from the CIA? Okay, fine. Another retread.
Okay, and Andre, we have a really bad line. Your line is really, really, really bad. Are you on a cell phone?
No, it's my earpiece. I'm sorry. It's my earpiece.
Okay, and it's coming across really bad.
Okay, let me pull it out. How's this?
It's better.
Okay. And like I said, another real bad retread. And from what the guy was saying, he might even be more dangerous than Rumsfeld.
Yeah, well, he certainly is a keeper of secrets. He certainly is a liar. He certainly is a he's not loyal, he politicized the CIA. That's a dangerous combination.
Yes. And even Eisenhower warned you about the military-industrial complex, and people have not listened. You know, as far as this new Congress coming in, I am kind of excited, but at the same time, listen, if we can just get these troops back home, if we can do that, I would be satisfied in the short term, because we do not need to have any more people dying over there on either side. I shed tears for Iraqi families. Now, that might sound unpatriotic to some folks. I don't give a damn. Those are human beings, too.
Thanks for your call, Andre. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
Yeah, Liz, I don't know which show that everybody that, you know, the Miss Brown guy, I don't know what show he was watching on Sunday, but Tim Russert most definitely said that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid were invited and declined to show up on this.
And
for whatever reason, who knows?
Well, I think it's an obvious reason. Why would they show up on a show to celebrate, to talk about a Democratic victory with either a Republican or a Republican light? That's ridiculous. Why would they do that? And why would either one of them? Why would? Huh?
John McCain was on by himself. It wasn't a panel where they had John McCain.
But you don't know what the plan was going to be had they accepted.
Don't you think that it's fair to...
No, I don't think it is. No, I don't think it is fair.
To fix your problem.
No, I don't think it is fair. I think that they should do what they have done in the past. And when the Republicans won in the past, the Republicans got an entire show to talk about their victory. There were no Democrats there to talk on the opposite side of the
all
victory.
Democrats all the time.
Beg your pardon?
By the way, what about Sunday's front page... charter schools on upswing, lure new class of kids.
What about the statistics that charter schools fail on every result? That doesn't mean that people do all kinds of stupid things without information. Look at all the people that voted for Bush. People do stupid things when they don't have the right information. The fact of the matter is that irrespective of how many people have been fooled into believing that charter schools are doing well, the numbers don't support that. And just like no matter how bad this country was doing, some folks voted for Boy George and his candidates. Stuff happens. It doesn't mean what you want it to mean, bless your heart. Doesn't mean that at all. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. We need some help. That's a message the big three U.S. automakers want to drive home in a visit to the White House today. Here's ABC Steve Taylor.
GM, Ford, and Daimler Chrysler say they don't want a federal bailout, but would like to see the government do more about health care costs and about barriers to their selling cars and trucks in big foreign markets like Japan and China. Congressional Democrats, like Michigan's Carl Levin, agree.
Why does our country tolerate China putting restrictions on our companies that want to do business in China when we don't put restrictions on the Chinese?
Other big three concerns: alternative fuel development and the fact that Toyota is about to become the world's biggest automaker. Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
A yearly trip for the president to Asia. He's also going to make an historic stop.
The yearly summit of Pacific nations will be held in Hanoi, Vietnam, where President Bush also makes a state visit 3 decades after the painful war. He will also stop to admire an economic engine of growth, tiny Singapore, and end with a day in Jakarta, Indonesia, the world's most crowded Muslim nation struggling with homegrown Al-Qaeda terrorism. Ann Compton, ABC News, The White House.
All universities in Iraq are closed today after a mass kidnapping at a research facility in Baghdad. Armed gunmen stormed the place. They took up to 100 people hostage. The Iraq Study Group hears from Prime Minister Tony Blair today of Britain. They'll talk via video link up. Blair is expected to tell them that he supports the idea of talking with Iran and Syria to try and end the chaos in Iraq. They just can't seem to get a break in parts of Washington state. More stormy weather, this time in the eastern part of the state, winds up to 50 miles an hour. Downed trees left thousands of people in the Spokane area without power. This man had a tree on his roof.
We were sleeping in our bedroom and we heard this big crash.
Storm also battered parts of Idaho. It's been a bad year for corn farmers. Prices added up, and not just the veggie, but the meat that from animals that eat it. This is ABC News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write. The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
Well, this isn't what Sony had hoped to deal with as the holiday shopping season kicks into high gear. There could be some problems with its hot new gadget. Here's ABC's Michael Barr.
Sony's PlayStation 3 has only been on the Japanese market for a few days, and there are some nagging bugs. A feature Sony pushed was this.
PlayStation 3 is fully backwards compatible.
In other words, gamers could play older PlayStation games. Now, a company official says the console is having problems doing that. About 8,000 games from the PS2 or the original PlayStation make the wrong sounds or images on the PS3. Some games couldn't be played at all. Sony says the same problem is expected when the PS3 goes on sale Friday in the U.S. Michael Barr, ABC News.
So your mom may have told you when you were younger that your sister or brother and you would become best friends. You said, yeah, right. Well, a new study says, guess what? She probably was right. That most kids do become closer as they get older, even those who fight like cats and dogs when they're young. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC
now,
News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Belleville Police Chief Dave Rubhausen is out. Mayor Mark Eckert placed Rubhausen on paid administrative leave yesterday and says the chief's contract will not be renewed when it expires in spring. Assistant Police Chief William Clay, now the acting chief, says the decision is because of a dispute between Rubhausen and Eckert and not connected to Friday's shooting of Belleville Sergeant John Bruff during a standoff. Rubhausen had only been Belleville's chief for about a year. A Hartford, Illinois man is dead after falling while working on a tree in his yard. Authorities say 66-year-old Delmont Pearson was trimming the tree at his home in the 100 block of West 3rd shortly after noon yesterday when he fell about 15 or 20 feet. Pearson was able to get into his house for help, but died in the emergency room of a local hospital. Officials say he suffered fatal chest injuries in the fall. The director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is stepping down. Governor Matt Blunt accepted Julie Eckstein's resignation yesterday. There's no word on a timetable for Eckstein's resignation to take effect or on who will replace her. Finally this hour, Transgender Day of Remembrance is next week, and the University of Missouri-St. Louis's self-proclaimed Queer Straight Student Alliance is starting early to bring attention to issues surrounding transgender people. Brian Rails, the president of PRISM, says the purpose of Transgender Awareness Week is to educate people about transgender issues.
To some extent it does. I think the more educated you are about something, the more likely you are to understand it and kind of be okay with it.
PRISM hosted a candlelight vigil last night and will hold a series of lectures and discussions throughout the week on issues that affect transgender people. For more information on the events, call PRISM at 314-516-5013. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery, get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve nasal congestion in minutes. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Breakfast at Sonic. In both directions, 170 at Del Mar and Page's road construction reducing it to two lanes, and southbound traffic is slowing near Page at this hour. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers, stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for no delays. Northbound 270 is slow from Tesson Ferry all the way through Marshall Road. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, there's congestion there. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake all the way through 270, look for heavy volume. Westbound 270 is slow from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant, and westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach that exit. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into the Landing, expect delays. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by breakfast at Sonic. Drive into Sonic this morning for their steak, egg, and cheese burrito, thinly sliced steak, egg, and cheese wrapped in a warm tortilla. It's a hearty way to start your day that's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy today, chance of rain with a high around 50 this evening. Rain likely with a low in mid-40s. Wednesday, rain likely with a and windy with a high in the upper 40s. Wednesday evening, colder, windy, occasional rain until early morning, then snow after midnight with light snow accumulations possible. The low should be in the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow early in the morning, then snow and rain late morning hours with a high only in the lower 40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches,
there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air,
tell me, brother. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that the show is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, you can go get an hour. You can also iPod it as well. That's right, the Wake Up Call. You can get that right there at whiterosesociety.org. And also you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com, LIZZBrown.com. And here's a heads up, a couple of heads up before we get to our guest this morning. I am looking for folks for the Wake Up Call band. We're calling it Proposition Funk. We're looking for people to be in the Wake Up Call band. And if you're interested, you can call me at 367-2743, 367-2743 if you are interested in being on the part of the Wake Up Call band Proposition Funk. So I look forward to hearing from you. We're going to be meeting this Thursday at 11 o'clock. And don't forget, oh, no, well, you probably can't not forget this because I haven't told you yet. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive, we're going to be starting that. It's going to be on December 15th this year. December 15th, mark your calendar, the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. So please start getting your blankets together for the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive on December 15th. And one more thing for you all. There will be an adoption promotion hearing in at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, JCPenney Conference Center today at noon in the Summit Lounge. They're going to be studying the recruitment and retention of foster and adoptive parents in Missouri, examining the use and effectiveness of the funding using that is used to promote this. So please be there today, a hearing on adoption promotion in Missouri at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, JCPenney Conference Center, Summit Lounge at 12 o'clock today. My goodness, we've had an amazing election. We've had an amazing, amazing election. And a week later, we are still, the dust is still settling from the progressive things that have happened as a result of the rout that took place, the draining of the swamp that took place on Tuesday. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it with respect to the amazing success of minimum wage issues all across this country. Yeah, Missouri. In fact, Missouri, that was the first contest announced, the winning of raising the minimum wage. We're going to talk about what happened all across this country with our guest, Holly Sklar, author of A Just Minimum Wage, Good for Workers, Businesses, and Our Future. She's joining us from Boston. We'll be back to talk to her about this minimum wage success a week ago today. Stay with me.
Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU, and I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Why don't we
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We are still deconstructing the amazing events that took place a week ago. This hour we're going to be talking about the minimum wage. Next hour we're going to be talking about the amazing health care changes that occurred. And in the third hour, the Wake Up Call, we're going to be talking about marijuana. That's right, marijuana passed, and in more than one place, marijuana restrictions were lessened or eliminated, and in more than one place. We're going to be talking about that in the third hour of the fourth hour of the show this morning. But right now, let's talk about minimum wage. Our guest is Holly Sklar. She's the author of A Just Minimum Wage, Good for Workers, Businesses, and Our Future. Joining us again from Boston. Holly, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay.
Very good.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Celebrating.
Yes, yes. Talk to us about, can we do a little, just do a little background in terms of the argument that was made, across the country about why we need to raise the minimum wage. Was it a different argument per state or was it pretty much the same?
No, it was pretty much the same in each state, and I'd love to start out with a little shout-out to Missouri, because you there passed the minimum wage ballot with the highest margin of any of the states at 76% voting for. So it was just a tremendous, tremendous victory for Missouri.
Not bad for a red state.
Not bad, not bad. And there are people like Audrey Hollis, lead organizer, Let Justice Roll Missouri, and Give Missourians a Rage, and Jobs with Justice, and SEIU, and all sorts of people, including a number of business people that were very supportive in St. Louis and around Missouri, like Lou Prince at Vintage Vinyl. It was just a great coalition that delivered this. People coming together there and all over the country and saying, look, a job should keep you out of poverty, not keep you in it. A job should keep you out of poverty, not keep you in it. And one of the ways that the government sends the big green light on that is by saying we have to raise the minimum wage, because the minimum wage sets the wage floor. And if the wage floor is too low, and if the wage floor is dropping like it's been, it basically puts wages into quicksand. You know, inflation takes it down, the minimum wage. It was a big response to the fact that the minimum wage now, the buying power of the federal minimum wage at $5.15, is the same as it was. You have to, matter of fact, it's less than it was back in 1950, you know, more than a half a century ago. And they often think, you know, could you imagine you're a worker in 1950 and somebody said, look, your minimum wage has the buying power of 1894? I mean, people just would laugh in hysterics thinking that that was okay. And telling a worker in 1950 that, you know, the minimum wage worker of 2006 is going to have, you know, less buying power than you. I mean, they would just be astonished that it could even be possible. It's just amazing.
Where were these campaigns waged?
We won in, there were six victories in six states where the minimum wage was on the ballot, so it was a clean sweep. And it was Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, and Ohio.
Can we make anything out of the geographic location of those states?
No. I mean, what it shows, well, you can. What you can make out of it is this is support across the board, basically, for minimum wage. It comes from Republicans, Democrats, Independents. It comes from red states, blue states. It comes from people of all ethnicities, racial backgrounds. It comes from people across income levels, although there are variations, obviously, in how much support within each category, but this was not for sure a quote-unquote blue state issue. Of course, a lot of the election was about saying, you know what, this ain't the red state country in that sense you thought it was. Thank you very much.
Well, and
George Bush, goodbye. But, you know, the other thing to remember is that these election victories were kind of the latest in a growing wave, and so we had legislative state minimum wage increases this year in Arkansas, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, California, Massachusetts. So it's been really building around the country.
So are we at the place, Holly, where we can say that you don't ask how many places don't have the minimum wage, you ask how many places have the minimum wage? I mean, how many states do we have out there that have not raised the federal minimum wage?
Well, as of January 1st, because some of them don't take effect until then.
Right.
We will have 29 states plus D.C. above the 515 federal level. And so We kind of have two points. One is that that shows that there's, you know, clearly majority support in the states for this, for raising the federal minimum wage, for raising the minimum wage above the 515 level. But number two, it's so important that one of the next things we work on is, of course, we've been working on it, but now it's possible it's going to happen, raising the federal minimum wage, because the point is it shouldn't depend on just state by state by state. We need a floor that says workers everywhere, whatever their job, are not below a certain, you know, are not below X level. And that level has to be sending the message that a job should keep you out of poverty, not keep you in it.
Is it possible, Holly, that we may be, you know, kind of seducing ourselves here with raising the minimum wage when the real thing should be a livable wage?
Well, the two are linked. That is to say, the minimum wage, you know, the minimum wage was established back in the 1930s, and the whole point of it was to say, we're going to say that there's a level at which you cannot go. There's a floor under the economy. And the minimum wage is supposed to have been raised, you know, raised consistently, raised steadily, so that people can be able to afford housing and health care and food and things like that all at the same time. Not that you should have to say, I can either have food or health care or child care or health care, or I can, you know, live out of my car and go to work. So the minimum wage is designed to make sure that there is a floor that allows you to meet your basic necessities. And I think we want to struggle very hard to make sure that that's the case. Raising the minimum wage in most places to $6.15 or to $7.25, what's being talked about at the federal level, is not going to give everybody a living wage. There's no doubt about that. But it's a step in that direction. It's a step in saying we want to be raising the minimum wage, you know, as fast as we can do it politically, to a living wage.
And two questions. How do other countries compare in terms of living wage or minimum wage? Do they have one or the other? And secondly, where are we in terms of pursuing a living wage? Is there a living wage legislation out there that has been passed?
There's over 140 cities and universities that have passed living wage legislation. So there's lots of living wage ordinances around the country. Many of them, they are designed to say within this locale you can meet your basic necessities at a certain wage. Some of them are tied to health care. So it's certainly been a growing movement to pass local living wage ordinances. But like I said, I don't think it's either or. I think local living wage ordinance should be seen as a complement to the minimum wage and not instead of it, because like I said, we don't want to depend on what you get as a floor. Depends on only where you live, but there's got to be a federal floor that's decent under everybody, and that moves up over time toward a living wage. Many other countries are ahead of us. Minimum wage is quite normal in many countries. Britain, is it going to be, or it is at now, over $10 an hour equivalent. Ireland is about $9 and moving up. So we've got lots of countries with much higher minimum wage than we do. And the thing to remember in many other countries that makes, you can't just look at the level of the minimum wage, but we are the only industrialized nation without universal health care. And so in other countries, when you hear somebody has a minimum wage, say, of $9 or $10, you got to remember that on top of that, they have health care.
Yeah, they're not having to take out of that $10 an hour job money to pay their hospital bills.
And on top of that, they have guaranteed vacation. They have paid leave. They have all kinds of things that we don't have on top of that.
Let me get to a caller or two. First, I think we need to take a break, then we'll get to a caller or two. I am talking to Holly Sklar. She's the author of A Just Minimum Wage, Good for Workers, Business, and Our Future. We're talking about the impact of the minimum wage as an issue on the ballot a week ago today, and the clean sweep that minimum wage made. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's heavy fog, some rain, and wet roads throughout most of the metropolitan area. Please allow extra time and use caution, especially through work zones. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers is stop and go. Eastbound 44 at Meraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge, look for delays. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Marshall, expect delays in pockets. And northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, you've got congestion going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Then again, from New Florissant through 170, expect slow traffic in the right lanes. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, look for a very heavy volume there. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, as well as the King Bridge. You can expect delays, and northbound Route 3 onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's holiday instant tickets, 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy, chance of rain throughout the day, high around 50. This evening, rain likely with low and mid-40s. Wednesday, windy, rain, and a high in the upper 40s. Wednesday evening, colder, windy, and look for occasional rain until early morning, then snow after midnight. Snow accumulations are expected with low and mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow early in the morning, then chance of snow and rain mixed throughout late morning hours with a high in the lower 40s. Currently we have 46 degrees and rain. Lambert Field is reporting 45 and rain. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Yo, caller, away!
Folks, that's the Sloan Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Keep on pushing.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning we're talking about the minimum wage and the extraordinary numbers that the state of Missouri racked up in their passage of the minimum wage piece of issue that was on the ballot a week ago today. And we're also talking about how minimum wage won across the country. My guest this hour is Holly Scalar. She's the author of A Just Minimum Wage, Good for Workers, Business, and Our Future. She's joining us from Boston. And, Holly, welcome back.
Thanks.
Aline, you have a question for Holly Scalar.
Yes. My question is basically the fact that there is a lack of career jobs that are now being drained out of the country as it relates to the workforce. I mean, St. Louis, I mean, the automobile industry has been literally almost destroyed in St. Louis. You know, and people, my experience this past week for a part-time janitorial position, I mean, people were beating over their heads just to get this one position for several positions over the city for part-time janitorial positions. And people, working people, are now left to these low-level service jobs just to support their families. And even with this minimum wage thing being passing, people are still going to be living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, it's just something about America and this economy. Just people just cannot get themselves up out of a hole. I mean, how can we address that?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think that one of the things that the minimum wage, why it's so important, again, is it's the floor. And so that under the jobs that do exist, we need to set a floor. Number one. Number two, we have to understand that right now the U.S. has become, like you say, we're a downwardly mobile society instead of an upwardly mobile society. We are becoming a nation of Scrooge Marts and outsourcers with an increasingly low-wage workforce instead of a growing middle class. And even middle-class households, two-paycheck households, are struggling to afford what many more households used to be able to do before, a house, college, health care, and retirement, that was seen as, auto workers and many other people could be able to afford that, could be able to earn that, could be able to have benefits that allowed that. So we have had this situation in which corporate and government policymakers have been basically running the U.S. economy into the ground, and they've been masking their greed and their incompetence and their corruption with all this rhetoric about global competition, you know, as if the problem in the auto industry of the competitiveness, for example, was that there were middle-class waged auto workers instead of these obscenely overpaid, short-sighted executives who were pushing really dumb strategies like Hummers instead of hybrids and fueling greed for CEOs instead of alternative fuels. And so one of the things we say that's absolutely important is we need to move the economy from a low-road economy into a high-road economy. Because right now we are taking this supposed, low wage road, which is really like taking a shortcut to a cliff. And we are still heading toward the cliff, and the election is a chance to say, look, let's take a look now and see how do we move the economy from the low road to the high road. We know that actually higher wages, the Let Justice Roll campaign is working with a group of business owners and executives who signed a statement for a higher minimum wage, and they said very clearly higher wages benefit business. They don't hurt business. They benefit business.
Well, and they benefit businesses in a number of ways. They employee loyalty. They'll stay with the company if they're getting paid.
That's right. And you reduce the costly employee turnover. You increase consumer purchasing power. The wages recycle back into the economy, especially local economies. You raise productivity, you improve product quality, you improve customer satisfaction. And so, again, these business owners and executives, and I've said it many times, you cannot build a strong 21st century economy on a 1950s wage floor. You've got to value both work and responsible businesses. And minimum wage, living wage, that's what that's about. It's saying that this is not only good for the economy, but it is essential. It is essential.
Let me get to another caller. Alderman Quincy Troop, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for our guest.
Yes, I was listening and enjoying you and your guest. I have a question for your guest, and I'd like to kind of talk about this minimum wage thing because I kind of see it as being more political than it is trying to improve the quality of life of poor people. The basic welfare benefit, when you cost it out, if you have the four major benefits like health care, Medicaid, food stamps, Section 8, and AFDC, it costs out about $10 to $11 an hour. So that's what we're paying the welfare recipient. So how do you come up with a minimum wage that's economically feasible or even logical, less than what you pay a welfare recipient? That's got to be insane. The other issue is now that you have a Congress and a Senate that's Democrat, do you think they're going to move this minimum wage to a living wage level? That was a question to your guest.
Thank you, True. That's the former dean of our House of Representatives, Charles Quincy Troop.
Oh, thanks very much for calling in. Well, a couple of things. I think that the Democrats have said that they're going to pass the Fair Minimum Wage Act within the first 100 hours of taking office in January. And what that says is they're going to move toward a minimum wage of $7.25 over about a two-year period. So if it's passed in 2008, be about January 2007, so we're talking about January 2009. But January 1st. So anyway, within about 2 years. And so that we see as a step in the direction of a living wage, but not a living wage. And so the next step is for the Democrats, basically, as soon as they pass whatever the next step is going to be for the minimum wage, that then we get on track to legislation that will indeed get us to a living wage, a floor under everybody. Now, that's where it becomes a little trickier in the sense that it obviously costs a lot more to live in some of the higher cost cities than it does in some of the, for example, rural areas or some of the smaller towns around the country. And so the minimum wage set federally is not going to be necessarily a true living wage for, say, San Francisco or St. Louis or Boston or New York. It's got to be an average, kind of a federal floor, right? And so that's one of the reasons why it's so important that states continue to do what they have done and raise the state minimum wage to a higher wage than the federal. And so even before the federal was stuck where it was for so long, a number of states did have higher wages than the federal. And many of them will continue to do that. I mean, already some of the states are going to be higher than $7.25 now, and many of them will be higher than that by the time the federal reaches that level. And so the states having a higher minimum wage when they can than the federal to meet the real costs within the state is very important, as well as, again, things like citywide minimum wage or living wage ordinances. So all of them have to kind of work together. The other big thing in terms of moving from a low road to a high road economy and addressing all the other kinds of things people need is we need to be moving toward universal health care. We need to be moving toward a place where we have, what you might call Medicare for some instead of Medicare for all, rather, instead of Medicare for some. And that is a huge contribution to people's living standards, to people being able to even stay alive, literally, to people to be not be bankrupted out of their homes because of a medical crisis and so on. And so it is a step, certainly, that's crucial. And another thing that a lot of people talk about, and we'll be talking about a lot more, is the need to move toward a sustainable energy system in the country, which all wraps together into, it's nice when you have some things that take care of a lot of other things. And so if you move in the direction of an environmentally sound energy system, you are also moving in the direction of the good wage jobs for the future that are necessary globally, not just nationally. and you're moving for national security, and it's serving kind of all three. It's serving economic security, it's serving energy security for the long haul, and it's serving national security. So there are all kinds of things we can do, but the minimum wage is a crucial step. And if I might say one more thing, even though in many cases, if it's 650, say in Missouri will be your new minimum wage in January, it has a cost of living adjustment. It's going to go up. And if a worker is making $2,000 to $3,000 more a year above the 515 federal level now, right, moving up a dollar or more than a dollar, $1.50, $2, that can make the difference between living in a car or living in an apartment, between fixing your car and keeping your job or losing your job, between safe child care and not. And so it is not, you know, the living wage that we talk about we want to get to, but it is really a huge difference for folks who just desperately need more dollars now.
And I want to thank you. It's my understanding that you have to leave, or do you have to leave?
I got about 5 more minutes is the most I can do.
Okay. We'll hold you on for another 5. Okay. Thanks. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Havana. Cuban leader Fidel Castro's oldest son says his father is recovering from an unspecified illness. Fidel Castro Diaz Balart, better known in Cuba as Fidelito, told reporters yesterday that his 80-year-old father is recovering, but refused to provide further insight into his condition. Castro's health has been a topic of speculation in Washington ever since the dictator handed power over to his younger brother Raul in July when he underwent intestinal surgery. Unnamed U.S. officials said yesterday that the working assumption is that Castro has some form of cancer, but that hasn't been confirmed. Fidelito would not comment on whether his father will be well enough to attend an 80th birthday public celebration planned for December 2nd. The event had to be postponed 3 months ago due to Castro's deteriorating health. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My guest this hour is Holly Sklar. She's the author of A Just Minimum Wage, Good for Workers, Businesses, and Our Future. We're talking about the minimum wage successes as a result of the last election. Let's take one more caller, Holly.
Okay.
And Bob, you have a question for our guest.
Thanks, Liz. I'll be quick.
thank you for your guest and your advice again. I would just like to know if she has any figures on what the poverty level is for a family of three, which is usually a mother and two children now, and then the difference between the living wage, because now the at our minimum wage is only $10,000 a year, and no one can live on that, and if it goes up to $650, it'll only be $13,500, which to me is still below the poverty level and probably a living wage. And this is in view of the facts that came out yesterday by the government that minorities are now the lowest paid group in the country, below Asians and Hispanics. And to me, that is simply because the Hispanics come in and they take the building trades jobs. They don't take, they're given the building trades jobs because they can do them, carpenters, plumbers, bricklayers, even down to truck drivers. But we, as minorities, have never been allowed to enter those trade union jobs, and those people have moved in front of us. And the Asians are taking the very low and the white-collar jobs. So can she give me a little numbers on poverty level and living wage as they pertain to what it would take a family of three to actually live on a decent wage per year?
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, let me start with the numbers for a minute. It's about $16,000 a year for a family of three, poverty level, officially, about $16,000. And most people who look at this, most researchers, I did a book called Raise the Floor, Wages and Policies That Work for All of Us. The Economic Policy Institute has very good numbers on this. But most people over the years have come to see that you need about twice the official poverty level, about twice the official poverty level to have kind of what you call a basic needs budget where you can simultaneously have housing and food and health care and child care if you need it and so on. And so there is a big gap between the what you need to get decent housing and so on and what the government calls a poverty line and, of course, what the minimum wage would be. But I want to stress a couple of things. One is that many minimum wage workers don't have kids. They don't want to be just using the family of three or family of four poverty line or living wage to set your living wage. Second of all, that there are other things that are important that we also have to be working for around the wage, because it's just simply not real that you're going to go from $5.15 an hour or $6.50 an hour or $7 an hour. And in a couple of years, you're going to get to a $12 minimum wage, you know, federally across the country, say, for example. So you have to remember that we want to be fighting also for things like making the earned income tax credit, which is the refundable tax credit that working people get. We need to make that much stronger, and we need to make it much better for folks who don't have kids as well as folks who have more kids. Right now, it penalizes people who don't have kids who are working and poor, and it's also not good enough for people who have larger families. So the earned income tax credit, and also making it deliverable at least monthly and not just end of the year for most people. And we also need to be strengthening all the other aspects of the safety net. But like I said, if there's a big thing that is an absolutely essential complement to wages in this country, it is health care, because that is so expensive, so incredibly expensive, that we need to be moving to more like a Medicare for All system, which is much, much, much more cost effective as well as humane and life saving. And so that's absolutely important. Affordable health care is another area, much more investment in affordable health care. Because the reality is you also have to do things that say, you know, drug companies, pharmaceuticals, housing, and so on, all of this can't just go racing out of control in the way that it has, so that CEOs in those areas can be hauling in millions, hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars in compensation. I mean, I don't want to have to pay higher health care so that they can haul in all those just absurd amounts of compensation.
Obscene amounts of compensation.
Obscene, absolutely obscene. And so when we move toward a universal health care system, for example, or the small business person, right? I mean, theoretically, you could say, well, we need a minimum wage of $25 because the pharmaceuticals are going to go completely bananas in the health insurance companies, right? And you could, so what I'm getting at is we need to be all looking at this all together and having a reasonable minimum wage in which you get the fair day's pay for a fair day's work, going back to that line that was used in the establishment of the original minimum wage, fair day's pay for a fair day's work. But at the same time, looking at all the other kinds of things that are so essential to making sure we have a floor under everybody in this country, health care, housing, safety net, things like that.
And I want to thank
a fair tax system.
And I want to thank you, Holly Sklar. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks very much for having me.
Certainly. And 1-877-920 is our long distance number. Will.
On the Wake Up Call.
Hello.
Yes, Will.
Oh, okay. Hi, how you doing, Liz? Is your guest still there?
No, she's not.
Okay, well, because a couple of questions I wanted to ask, I actually did kind of touch on some of them. Because I once heard that there was an extreme percentage amount compared to what CEOs made just 25 years ago compared to what they make today. I mean, the rate of percentage hike in that is like astronomical compared to what the average laborer, how their salary has increased over that period of time. And I want to see if she actually could throw those numbers out there, because I read them a while ago, and I was just blown away by the gap. And also, I've also heard this, that by raising the minimum wage, I've heard the argument about small businesses suffering, and then if you increase this minimum wage, and you would force a lot of businesses out of business. I want her to see if she could have addressed that. And then also, there's the other side of it when you're talking about larger corporations. You see a lot of this exporting jobs overseas, and if you do increase that minimum wage, will that then just, you know, open the floodgate for countries, to, you know, I mean, for companies to start trying to get their labor overseas at, you know, of course, and then if you go overseas to certain areas, you're going to get it at a greatly reduced rate than what you would have to pay the American laborer and all of that. And also, I think laws need to be, if you're going to increase the minimum wage to prevent what I just said, that scenario I just said, wouldn't there have to be some type of laws in place to prevent these companies from being able to do that if you're going to work in tandem with the minimum wage?
There's a meeting that's taking place today. The automakers are going to meet with George Bush. They're going to be talking to him about a number of things, but one of the things that they will be talking to him about are indeed those laws that make it more difficult for America to get their vehicles into other countries, and the laws that make it easier or make it harder for their companies to make money because of what's allowed for outsourcing. So yes, there are laws that could be put in place to protect the interest and protect the income and protect the interest of American citizens. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that would have to be a necessity to go along with increases in, you know, to try to get up to a livable wage.
All right. Thank you, Will.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
It is. The lady, she's gone, but I want to talk to her too, but that's okay. But Liz, I don't know why they thought that no way going to be so hard in the past, because Republicans trying to get gas and fell out of the gallon. That was right. That was pushing my real easy, you know.
It's ridiculous to think that you can't even buy 2 gallons of gas with 1 hour's worth of work.
Right.
That's obscene. That's obscene.
So I don't see why they still thought they were going to pay it. It was so easy. That's paying. I wouldn't even worry about that.
But here's the thing. The fact of the matter is that minimum wage has been on the ballot before in the state of Missouri, and it did not pass. It did not pass. Thanks for your call, Cody. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back in the next hour to talk about the issue with Ron Pollack. He is the chairman, the CEO of Families USA. And we're going to be talking about the changes in health care that we have to look forward to as a result of the election last Tuesday. Ron Pollack, Families USA, will be with us in the next hour. Stay with me.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. That new car may cost you a lot less these days. So does the gas to fill the tank. Declines in both products led to a big drop in inflation. Wholesale prices were down more than 1.5% last month. That's the second big drop in a row, and that has the big three worried. The heads of Ford, GM, and Chrysler will talk to President Bush about it today.
The auto companies say health care costs are killing them. GM, the nation's biggest private health care provider, spends more on that than it does on steel. The big three would like to see lower prescription drug prices, among other things.
ABC Steve Taylor in Washington. The president is heading to Asia later today on an 8-day visit that will include the Pacific Rim Summit in Vietnam, the first visit to the nation by a U.S. president since the Vietnam War. Officials at universities across Iraq are keeping a closer eye than usual on campus activities. They say they're ready to close on a moment's notice if anything like this happens.
It was a bold and precise operation in just 15 minutes. Men wearing official interior ministry uniforms surrounded the four-story building, going through it methodically separating men from women. They confiscated cell phones, then loaded dozens of men into SUVs and drove away.
ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad, where gunmen took up to 100 people hostage today. Some have been released. The U.S. study group hears from Britain's Tony Blair today. The prime minister expected to tell them that he supports the idea of dialogue with Iran and Syria to end the chaos in Iraq. Could America's mayor be commander-in-chief? New York City's Rudy Giuliani's filed the papers to form an exploratory committee, a step that he is interested in a run for the White House. New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd doesn't think the GOP is ready for Rudy, though.
The Republican base is not shifted enough for Giuliani to win that nomination unless something, you know, were really to change. He's not been pandering as much as McCain has to get it.
McCain also is forming a committee, says he should have an announcement in the near future as well about a possible run. This is ABC News.
Know what this Wednesday is? It's Kohl's 50% off sale, where you'll find great styles at half off throughout the store. I'm here with stylist Alexa talking about the latest trend, luxurious textures.
Think fabrics that feel soft to the touch.
Like cashmere?
Yes, sumptuous in a sweater and snuggle up in plush throws for the bed or sofa.
What about footwear?
Boots lined with fleece? Very cozy.
Stay toasty at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home. This Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight. At Kohl's, expect great things.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please.
Oh, they say clothes make the man, so why not the musician? Here's ABC's Chuck Stevenson.
Ah, to be able to do this without a guitar. And with no talent other than being able to ape the moves of your favorite artist in a high-tech musical T-shirt, Australian scientists from the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization have invented a T-shirt called the Wearable Instrument Shirt. It has sensors in each elbow and sleeves to detect and interpret air guitarists' arm movements. One arm chooses chords and the other strums imaginary strings. The gestures are connected wirelessly to guitar audio samples to generate music. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Well, if you haven't done it yet, you might want to consider getting a flu shot. Federal health officials say you don't need to worry about a shortage. There's a record supply of vaccine, plenty for everyone who needs it. This is what they're also worried about. If suppliers have to throw out a big surplus, they may be less likely to make enough vaccine in the future when there could actually be a shortage. Daria Albinger, ABC
News. Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the Swansea couple murdered last week at their home will be laid to rest today. 79-year-old Henry Colley and his 69-year-old wife Dolores were killed Thursday, allegedly by their former son-in-law, Larry Sicca. Sicca later took his own life after a standoff in which police say he shot and critically injured Belleville Sergeant John Bruff. The funeral for the Colleys is this morning at 10 at Signal Hill Lutheran Church. A St. Louis area man will go to prison for making fake emission certificates. Ernest Carter was sentenced yesterday to 1 year and 1 day in prison and a $10,000 fine. Carter pleaded guilty in August to making thousands of counterfeit emission certificates. His co-defendant, towing service owner Donald Allen, is serving 4 years of probation for reselling those certificates to people whose cars had failed an emissions test. Finally this hour, Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan is in line with other Democrats in Washington who would like to see troop reductions in Iraq in the coming months. This comes after President Bush met with a bipartisan panel yesterday examining the future strategy for the war. Carnahan says he hopes this meeting will help solve some of the problems.
I hope that this bipartisan commission will bring about some recommendations that will include phasing down of troops, addressing the almost civil war going on, stabilizing their government, and protecting them from neighboring countries that would want to disrupt things further.
The president says he had a really good discussion with the panel yesterday and looks forward to getting the group's final report probably in the next month. The panel is headed by former Secretary of State James Baker and former Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Breakfast at Sonic. Drive into Sonic this morning for their steak, egg, and cheese burrito. Thinly sliced steak, egg, and cheese wrapped in a warm tortilla. It's a hearty way to start your day that's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. There's heavy fog, some rain, and wet roads throughout the metropolitan area. Please use caution and slow down. Give yourself some extra time. Southbound 170 at Page, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Mid Rivers. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Antire through 270. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Marshall. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Look for delays there. Westbound 270 from New Florissant through 170. Delays in the right lane. Northbound 55 from Lindbergh through 44. Congestion in pockets. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way to the Canal Bridge. That's over on the east side. Look for delays. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Laclede Station. There's slow traffic. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge and Eads Bridge. You can expect delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your everyday portable GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy rain today with a high around 50 this evening. Rain likely with a low in the mid-40s for Wednesday. Rain, windy with a high in the upper 40s. Wednesday evening, windy, colder, occasional rain till early morning, occasional snow after midnight. Light snow accumulations may be expected with low in mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow early in the morning, then chance of snow and rain throughout the day with a high in the lower 40s. Currently, we have rain and 46. Lambert Fields reporting rain and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This week, or today, all throughout this week, we will be taking a look at the results of the election from just a week ago. It's not just that Claire McCaskill won the senatorial race. It's not just that the Democrats have taken control of the House and the Senate. There are also some other issues out there that will be impacted, affected by the changes that took place as a result of your vote last Tuesday. We're going to continue our discussion of some of those changes. And the discussion this hour turns to health care. And we have as a guest joining us from Washington, D.C., Ron Pollack, the Executive Director of Families USA, to talk to us about that. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you again.
It's great to have you here. Quite a day a week ago today, huh?
Well, it was, and I think it's going to mean significant changes from what we otherwise would have expected in healthcare and probably in a bunch of other areas as well.
Can you give us a quick assessment of some of the changes that are going to that you see happening as a result of what happened a week ago?
Well, I would put the changes in two categories. The first category, what are we likely to see happen that might not have happened otherwise? And then what things will not happen that might have happened otherwise? So starting with the first, I think the most significant thing that is likely to happen in Washington on health care in the next year will relate to coverage for children. As you know, there are about 9 million children in the country who are uninsured. And next year, in 2007, the so-called State Children's Health Insurance Program that goes by the acronym CHIP expires. Its authorization expires. And so Congress is going to have to consider what to do about the program. And the stakes are not simply a question of will Congress reauthorize the program. I think they will. But the question is, will, in the process, they cover the 9 million children who are uninsured? And I think there's a real shot that we'll make very significant progress towards covering all of the uninsured children in America. And
how could there be children that are not covered by this, Ron?
Well,
what does a child look like, or what kind of child is not covered?
Well, as of the 9 million children who are uninsured, the overwhelming majority of them, 88% of them, are in families where at least one parent works. And what that means is those parents have jobs that are probably somewhat lower paying. They don't provide health care coverage. Or to the extent they offer health care coverage, they require the family to pay more than the breadwinner can afford. And as a result, those children are uninsured.
We're going to continue this conversation. I'm talking to Ron Pollack. He's the Executive Director of Families USA. We're talking about the health care issues that have arisen as a result of the election from last Tuesday. Stay with us.
Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
RaglandandSons.net. For that special gift, RaglandandSons.net. Black owned, black operated. 314-968-2789. Or toll free, 1-800-577-5786. Call for your free catalog today or visit raglandandsons.net. Register this week and enter to win a free 7-night stay at a 5-star Branson Resort. No purchase necessary. Must register online this week only at raglandandsons.net. Use code WGNU25 for a 25% discount. Winner announced November 20th.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
But they'll slip through their windows and they'll
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. And my guest this hour is Ron Pollack. He is the Executive Director of Families USA. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And we're talking about the impact that last Tuesday's election has had on health care coverage, health care for families in the United States. Welcome back, Ron.
Thanks so much.
You were talking about the CHIPS program.
Yep.
And the extent of or what we can look forward to in terms of this newly elected Congress and Senate.
Well, I think that there's a real chance that we can As part of the process that when Congress considers the CHIP program, whose authorization expires in 2007, that they can actually enact legislation that could get virtually all of America's children covered once and for all. This is an area that I think enjoys bipartisan support, and I think that with the new Congress, I think that the likelihood of this being a higher priority and deserving more attention and resources is greater. And so I think that may well be the most significant thing that happens in Congress on health care in 2007. Now, I think there's another area that is going to get significant attention. It's an area you and I have talked about over the months, and that is changes in the Medicare program. As you know, the Medicare legislation that was adopted a few years ago prohibits Medicare from bargaining for cheaper drug prices. And as a result, the Medicare program pays much, much higher prices, and seniors pay higher prices, and taxpayers pay higher prices than they should. And one of the things that incoming Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said, she said in the first 100 hours, she's going to get legislation on the floor of the House to try to make sure that Medicare has the power to bargain for cheaper prices, just like the Veterans Administration does for veterans.
And this also has, this isn't just the Democrats. There are a lot of Republicans that are also on board with this.
I think so. Now, unfortunately, the Bush administration is yesterday complained bitterly about any such change and said they're going to oppose this. But there are Republicans in Congress who I think want to change this because they don't want to spend money that really isn't helpful. If you have all these inefficiencies because of very high prices, that neither helps seniors nor the American taxpayer. And in the last Congress, there were 54 votes in the Senate to change this law so that there could be bargaining. Now I think there's going to be a vote on the floor of the House. I think that there is going to be a clear majority to eliminate this prohibition. So I think that's something we're likely to see changed as well.
And do you think that the energy from this election from last Tuesday about just that people want their lives to be a little bit better, do you think that kind of energy is going to impact on the decisions made by the newly bruised Republican minority?
Well, it was interesting. I was listening to the various statements from the candidates who won, whether it was Claire McCaskill in Missouri or John Tester in Montana or the incoming Senator Casey in Pennsylvania or Sherrod Brown in Ohio, here Ben Cardin of Maryland, and all of them were saying that health care is a really critically important thing, that too many people in their states are finding health care increasingly unaffordable and more people are joining the ranks of the uninsured and underinsured. And so I think this new group of senators is going to make health care a high priority, and I think that's going to have a huge influence over the entire Congress.
Well, okay, we have the 100 hours plan with the negotiations of these prices. What about the donut hole? Are we going to be able to deal with that?
Is obviously something seniors are very concerned about, especially those who take multiple medicines. This huge gap in coverage right now, it's a gap of $2,850. Once a senior spent $2,250 in drugs, all of a sudden they have no coverage until they spent $5,100 in drugs. The only way that donut hole is going to be remedied and closed is going to be if there are savings achieved by getting prices down. And that's why this bargaining measure that Nancy Pelosi is pushing is so critically important. If that succeeds, then there'll be new resources to plug the donut hole.
And in terms of the Democratic response to this, can we hope that this is going to be universal?
Well, universal in terms of With Donut Hole or getting universal coverage for people who are uninsured?
No, I mean universal in terms of support for the changes, the 100-hour changes that are being proposed by Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I don't think it's going to be universal. I mean, I think there are going to be significant members on the Republican side that may oppose this because the president appears to be strongly opposing it. But I think there is a majority in both the Senate and the House to do this. And the question is, if it does achieve the majority that I believe can be achieved, will the president veto it, and will there be sufficient votes to override a veto if he does veto it?
And you were talking about the things that you were looking at, these election results in terms of things that will happen and the things that will not happen. What are some of the other things that will not happen as you see it?
Well, I think the most important things are, first of all, the Bush administration has been wanting to cut back the Medicaid program. That's the health care program for low-income people and families. There are right now 53 million people in Medicaid, and the president has wanted to decrease the benefits that people receive and increase the cost that they have to pay for those decreased benefits. I don't think that this Congress is going to tolerate that. And so I think that's more likely to be placed on the back burner. And, the Bush administration has created a thing called the Medicaid Commission, which is going to come out with its recommendations next month. And we've already gotten a preview of what those changes are going to be that they're proposing. And they are cutbacks. And I think Congress is going to say that's dead before arrival. So that's one thing. The second thing is the Bush administration has been pushing high deductible insurance policies, sometimes connected to health savings accounts. And those things actually help the people who have the greatest amount of money because they're not troubled by high deductibles. They can put money away into a health savings account, and because they're in a higher tax bracket, they get a better tax break. Well, for the rest of us, it's not a good deal. We don't want higher deductible policies. I think that the likelihood of Congress promoting the expansion of health savings accounts is far dimmer today. I think that's going to be put on the back burner. And lastly, there's a concept that makes a great deal of sense, but that the Bush administration has distorted, and that is the concept that's good is enabling small businesses to band together so that they can get cheaper premiums for health insurance for their employees. That's a good idea. But the Bush administration has joined that concept with a concept of eliminating state regulations that protect consumers so that, for example, if you're sick or you have a disability or you have a health condition, state policy prevents the insurance companies from discriminating against you in ways that decline coverage for you or that charge really enormous premiums. Those kinds of protections the Bush administration would like to eliminate. I think those kinds of changes now go to the back burner.
When you look at the winners from last Tuesday, the McCaskills and all, were you hearing the type of language that gave you hope from those candidates with respect to health care? Are they saying the similar types of things?
Well, I think so. I know Claire McCaskill campaigned frequently talking about health care. She certainly spoke about this, the problems with the Medicare program and the prohibition against bargaining. She campaigned with her mother, and she talked about the donut hole.
Yeah, in fact, I had her mother and her on my show.
Well, and so clearly, here's a great example of somebody who made this a very important issue. And I think she's very sensitive to the fact that increasingly, people in Missouri are being priced out of health care because premiums are rising so much faster than earnings that it's taking a bigger and bigger bite out of family budgets. So I think she is a very good example of others who have now been elected who have said health care deserves top priority attention, and I think we're going to get it.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Ron Pollack, Executive Director of Families USA. We're talking about the recent election and its impact on health care issues on all of us. We will be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's heavy fog, rain, and wet roads throughout the metropolitan area, so use caution and give yourself plenty of extra time. Southbound 170 at Page, there's an accident reported and traffic's back up through St. Charles Rock Road. Eastbound 44 at Arsenal and Southwest, there's an incident where a disabled vehicle has been cleared, but there's some slow traffic from Berry Road on in. Eastbound 70 from K through Mid Rivers, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 from 141 through 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and Marshall, it is a slow go as well. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and McKnight, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant, look for delays. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. King Bridge is slow from mid-span on in. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's holiday instant tickets. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, cloudy, rain, high around 50. This evening, rain likely with low and mid-40s. Wednesday, rain, windy, high in the upper 40s. Wednesday evening, windy, colder. Occasional rain until early morning. Occasional snow after midnight. Light snow accumulations are possible. And the high will be in the, or I'm sorry, the low will be in the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow early, and chance of snow and rain throughout the morning hours with a low and high in the lower 40s. Currently, we have 46 degrees in rain. Lambert Field has 45 in rain. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please tell them who you're going to. Now how your daddy's on your mind and your mommy's on your mind. If we have another dance, yeah, just the one more.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to the executive director of Families USA, and that is Ron Pollock. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the impact of these this congressional election and the senatorial election on health care issues. Ron, welcome back.
Good to be with you, as always.
And, Ron, is there... We've been told constantly prior to this election of how we should participate, that we should be making phone calls to our legislators about different issues. Is there an issue out there that we still need to be attentive to, despite the results from Tuesday, that we need to be calling our legislators on?
Well, I think no question that the two key issues that are going to come up real early, namely what kind of coverage will we extend to children, and will we allow Medicare to bargain for cheaper prices? That's going to need significant attention by voters, because it's critically important that we get sufficient votes so that every child gets covered and so that bargaining is allowed in Medicare so we could plug the donut hole. And so our work is not over now that the elections are over. We've got to make sure that our senators and our House members vote the right way on these things. So hopefully your listeners will continue their involvement in civic affairs by contacting their two senators and congressmen and saying, we want every child covered, and we want to make sure that Medicare is allowed to bargain for cheaper prices.
With respect to issues of people of color, of minority folks, and health care issues, are there some issues that are now going to be on the back burner and some that are going to be on the front burner as a result of this election?
Well, let me go back to one of the issues I've kept on stressing, which I think is of enormous importance for people of color, and that is, you know, of the 46.6 million people in the United States who are uninsured, disproportionately, they are people of color. They are people who are in low-wage jobs, and those jobs do not provide health care coverage. And so anything we can do to expand coverage, whether it's expanding coverage for children or for the parents of those children, those things are critically important, because the people who are most likely to be uninsured tend to be people of color. We've looked at the percentages of people who are uninsured by race, and disproportionately people in the African American community and people in the Hispanic community are far more likely to be uninsured than non-Hispanic whites. And so I think the more we can put the agenda to focus on expanding coverage for those who don't have it, deal with those people who may have coverage but it's lousy coverage, I think that's going to be critically important.
And let me get to some of the callers here. Shirley, you have a question for my guest, Ron Pollock.
Yes, I'm a 70-year-old black female, and I was on Medicaid for a while and was paying that spend down for $47. When Telen come in, it doubled with $147 a month, which I couldn't afford it because my average income is $175 a month. So I wonder if they're going to do anything about that, because it's ridiculous that we can't get work all our lives and we still can't get coverage for Medicaid.
Well, as you know, in Missouri, there have been major cutbacks in Medicaid. You know, the state of Missouri, under Governor Blunt, have implemented the second largest cutback in Medicaid of all the 50 states. Only Tennessee has done worse. And so here is a matter that is not simply a question of what are we going to do in Washington and the federal government, but it's also something that needs attention within the state, because unless, you know, the Medicaid program is essentially run by the state. There's federal money that comes into the state for it, but it's run by the state. And so the cutbacks that occurred in Missouri have got to be changed if there's going to be relief for people who need it.
Let me get to another caller or two. Maurice, you have a question for our guest, Ron Pollack.
Yes, good morning. A real quick question. A lot of companies now who have in the past provided regular HMO, PPO-type coverage, a lot of them are moving toward this consumer power plan type coverage. And what that is that they will put it into the employee's account, something like a health savings account. They give them an account with a pot of money for themselves or themselves and their family, whatever, and that money is supposed to be used for health care for the year. Once that money is used up, then the employee is responsible for the health care 100% for the remainder of the year. And this is supposed to be a good thing. They're counting this as a good thing with the mindset that, you know, you can manage your own health care, you know, you can go wherever you want, there are no limitations on the doctors, what have you. The problem is that the amount of money that are put into these accounts is very limited. I mean, for a family, or some of these plans, like $3,500 for a year for a family of four or five, or however many people you have in your family. And, you know, I'm looking at that, I've seen those type of things, and I'm like, you know what, this isn't a good thing. This is kind of a bad thing. And that, you know, you're cutting the legs out from under health care for these families.
Okay.
You have one major issue where someone has to be hospitalized. You're pretty much kind of, you know, in behind eight ball for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
I just want to get your feeling on it. Have you seen that happen across the nation? Thank you.
Thank you, Maurice.
Well, I think that's a very important question and observation. What we're seeing is the promotion of high deductible policies. That's what he's talking about. And sometimes they're joined together with money put into a savings account. And those things actually are very good for wealthy people, especially if they're healthy. But if you're not wealthy and if you've got health problems, it's not good, because if you're wealthy, you can put money away. You're not worried about a high deductible. You have enough money to put into one of these health savings accounts, and the tax preference that you get is going to be greater for you if you're wealthy, because you're in a higher tax bracket. But if you've got health problems, and if you're not wealthy, you're not going to find the deductible something that you're going to like, because you may not be able to afford to pay the money in the deductible. And you're not going to have money to put away into a health savings account. And even if you did, you'll get a lesser tax break than somebody who's wealthy. And so I think that this concept, which is something very desirable for somebody who's wealthy and healthy, is not going to be very good. In fact, it's going to cause some real problems for people who have lesser wealth and who've got health problems. And I have to say, one of the things that's going to occur in the process is, as the wealthy and healthy people migrate to these high deductible policies and the sicker, poorer people don't go to those policies, the sicker and poorer people are going to be in health plans where you're going to have a much sicker population. And guess what's going to happen to their premiums? They're going to skyrocket. And so the people who need health care the most will be worse off than they are today.
Is there legislation that should be introduced, Ron, that can curb insurance companies from preying on people in this way? Is there something that your organization has on the back burner or the front burner in terms of legislation?
Well, this is an area which most typically gets dealt with at the state level, and one of the things that groups like ours are trying to promote is to try to prevent the insurance companies from discriminating against people when they have a health problem, if they've got diabetes or high blood pressure or heart problems. As your listeners no doubt know,
If you've got a health problem, insurance companies don't want to sell insurance to you.
Or they'll write off an entire region of your body.
Right. Or if they do sell insurance to you, they'll charge you an arm and a leg. And so one of the things that's critically important is to put rules in place, which typically are done by state governments, to prevent insurance companies from discriminating against you just because you have health problems.
And the rules have to be tight enough to say, okay, we won't discriminate against you, but it's going to cost you $7,000 a month.
And that's exactly the kind of discrimination that's extremely harmful. Even if the insurance company says, we'll sell insurance to you, if they sell it to you at a price that's simply unaffordable, what good is it?
Let me get to one more caller here. Robert, do you have a question for Ron?
Yes, I have a question. The first question is regarding national health insurance. I don't hear any discussion and didn't hear any discussion during the campaigning of the candidates in the last election. It seems like everybody's afraid to touch that issue. Second question I have is related to that, and I'd like to know if the guest knows anything about the legislation that was passed in Massachusetts to give health care to all of the residents of that state.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Well, Robert asked two very important questions. First, with respect to national health insurance, I would phrase the quest that we all should have is to make sure everyone in our nation has health coverage. And we didn't hear too much of that during the campaign. I believe that in 2008, in the next elections, the presidential election, I bet you that issue is going to catapult towards the top of the national agenda. There are just too many people in the country who are hurting, who don't have coverage or are afraid they're going to lose coverage, or even if they have coverage, they feel it's lousy coverage. So I think that issue is going to be squarely at the top of the agenda. With respect to Massachusetts, I think it's a very good experiment, and I think a lot of states across the country are going to look at what happens in Massachusetts so that they may decide to copy it or at least learn from it, and maybe we'll learn from it on the national level as well.
And Ron, it's my understanding you have to leave us.
Unfortunately, I do for a meeting, but it's always a joy to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you. And could you give us your website, please?
Yes, it's www.familiesusa.org. Familiesusa.org.
Ron Pollack, Executive Director of Families USA. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Certainly. Listen, folks, we're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Don't fight the crowds. Shop RaglandandSons.net. Gifts for the whole family, right from your home. RaglandandSons.net. Black-owned, black-operated. 314-968-2789 or toll-free 1-800-577-5786. Get your free catalog online at RaglandandSons.net. Register this week for your chance to win a 7-night stay at a 5-star Branson Resort. No purchase necessary. Registration this week only at RaglandandSons.net. Drawing to be held November 20th. Use code WGNU25 for a 25% discount.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Hanoi. Business leaders in the United States and Vietnam are expressing disappointment after the U.S. House of Representatives rejected a bill aimed at establishing permanent normal trade relations with the communist country. The surprising result means President Bush could go to this weekend's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Hanoi without delivering on a trade initiative his administration had made a priority. A Vietnamese spokesperson says the vote is regretful and does not suit or serve the mutual interest and wishes of the people of the two countries. Congress must approve permanent normal trade relations with Vietnam for U.S. farmers, bankers, and other businesses to share in the market opening benefits of Hanoi's entry into the World Trade Organization next month. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. In the next hour, we will be joined by Bruce Merkin. He will be talking to us about the strong results for state and local marijuana reform ballot initiatives. Including an apparent all-time record vote in Nevada to end marijuana prohibition completely. Oh my goodness. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, there are a number of things going on. December 15th is going to be the date for the blanket drive. You will be able to hear about that more as we get closer to it. But mark that day on your calendar, December 15th is the annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. You want to participate in that. I know you do. We got to make it bigger and better this year. Bigger and better this year. So you don't want to miss it. The annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. And also, there is an opportunity for you to participate in, I'm looking for a band. I'm looking for a Wake Up Call band. Proposition Funk. You interested? Give me a call at 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Wake Up Call band. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's do something a little different, a little funky here. So, are you interested? Give me a holler at 367-2743. We're going to have a meeting this Thursday at 1 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that. And also, coming up today, put this on your calendars as well. Today at noon, there is a meeting, a hearing on adoption promotion in Missouri. Adoption promotion in Missouri. How do you do this? They are trying to figure out a better way to get the word out there about the recruitment and retention of foster and adoptive parents in Missouri. They want to examine the use and effectiveness of funding with regard to the promotion and adoption, promoting the adoption of foster children in this state, and they want people to give their input. So be there today at 12 o'clock at the University of Missouri, J.C. Penney Conference Center, Summit Lounge. I'm going to be there. I am a pre-adoptive parent. I really think that they need to get the word out about that, but I'm going to be there today to talk on this as well, to give my input on this as well. So be there today at 12 o'clock. And again, that's the University of Missouri St. Louis J.C. Penney Conference Center at the Summit Lounge. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff that we need to talk about, all kinds of issues that we need to address. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Fallout all over the place for the Republicans. Fallout all over the place. 2 days after losing a bid for the second term, Republican Lincoln Chafee said, you know what? I think I just might leave the Republican Party entirely. Now, granted, Lincoln Chafee was an independent Republican. Granted. Independent. He's been a lifelong Republican, though. He represented Rhode Island for 7 years. His father had the seat for 23 years before that. He was the most liberal Republican in the Senate, and was the sole Republican to vote against the Iraq War. But he has said, you know what, I haven't made any decision. I don't know. But he did say he's unsure about whether or not he's going to remain a Republican. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. It just hasn't been good news. It hasn't been good news for the Republican Party. Rush Limbaugh confessing. You know, I guess OxyContin will make you do that. I guess it'll make you, that drug-addled mind. That drug-addled mind. Sometimes, occasionally, you can get a person on a drug-addled mind to say some stuff that they hadn't intended on saying. Sometimes you get a confession or two out of people that have drug-addled minds, like Rush. And Rush Limbaugh has said, and I quote, I feel liberated as a result of this election. I don't have to carry the water for these people that whose positions I didn't agree with. Well, you know what? That makes you a member of a group of people where it's legal in Nevada. Prostitution is legal in Nevada, and apparently Rush Limbaugh is saying it's legal in his world as well. So, in other words, you were lying to all of the ditto dodo heads out there. Did I say that? Ditto dodo heads out there. You were lying to them when you talked about how wonderful the Republicans were and how good their policies were. This war in Iraq, you were and these are his words. He said, I was tired of carrying the water for these people. Well, sweetie, you're still a water carrier. You're just a water carrier whose party lost. You're just a water carrier whose party lost. Some rough days and times out here. Boy George snapping. At Carl Rove, the bloom is off the turd blossom, if you will. I don't know what that looks like or smells like and don't want to know. But it is what it is. The bloom would be off the turd blossom. Lincoln leaving the party. Lincoln Chafee leaving the party. Rush Limbaugh saying, I was carrying the water for a bunch of lying hypocrites, and I free. Boy George snapping at Karl Rove. Well, Karl Rove did lose a few for the team. Rough days. And I would suspect, I would hope, I would implore all of you to make certain, let's do this, let us make certain that their future days are rough as well. Because, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, indeed, the bloom is off, the turd blossom. Danelle.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am outstanding.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day.
Liz, I got a question. I was watching CNN this morning, and I see where they were able to capture to kidnap them 100 people.
100 people!
At one time.
At one time. They didn't take the women, they took the men. They walked into a state office, government office in Baghdad, dressed in uniforms, and snatched them. What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
It tells me that $1 billion in Homeland Security, some billions of dollars that folks made it over there, didn't work.
Guess who Harry Reid is talking about? Harry Reid is talking about putting in charge of, or putting as the chairman of Homeland Security for the United States Senate.
Liz, they should have had armed guards in that building.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. They know that there was a security threat, and they said that, the police officers, the Iraqi police officers, made no attempt to abort the kidnappers.
They said, I ain't in it. They said, I ain't in this.
You know, so it's
so how's that war working out for us?
Well, I don't think we're winning. You know, my mother told me when I was a young man, sometimes you have to cut your losses, Liz.
But you know what? My parents also told me that everything ain't a game.
Yeah.
This ain't about winning, and it ain't a game. It's about resolving this mess.
20 more people died on a bus yesterday, suicide bombing. And it looks like that the brunt of the fatality is American soldiers, American citizens. You know, I think it's something. It's time to come home.
It's time to bring our babies home.
Yep. I agree with you. Have a good day, Liz.
Take care of yourself, you too. Listen, folks, when we come back, we'll be talking to Bruce Merkin. We're going to talk about marijuana reform ballot initiatives across this country. Huh. Win or lose. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all
of the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You probably won't complain with the holiday shopping season shifting into high gear. The price of gas is down. So are many big ticket items. And it's pushing inflation down again. More from ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington.
Thanks to declining prices for new cars and gasoline, Americans had more purchasing power last month. Inflation at the wholesale level plunged 1.6%, the second big monthly drop in a row, tying a five-year-old record. Core inflation, which excludes food and energy, also fell by nearly 1%, the biggest such decline in 13 years. That could give the Federal Reserve incentive to lower interest rates in the near future.
What's good for your pocketbook, though, isn't too great for the auto industry. The leaders of the big three, usually fierce competitors, team up today to drive a point home to President Bush. The business is in trouble. With rising health care costs and more competition from foreign companies, it's time for some help. President Bush heads to Asia today. The main focus of the eight-day visit is the Pacific Rim Summit in Vietnam. It's a popular treatment for the flu. Just one problem with Tamiflu. It could cause some bizarre behavior like hallucinations, mainly in children. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
In one case, a 14-year-old boy died after going to the top of his apartment building and falling off. Two other adult men died after falling or jumping off of buildings as well. One of them left a suicide note. None of these people had a history of psychiatric problems before taking Tamiflu.
The FDA is now recommending that doctors and parents closely watch kids after they begin treatment. More wet weather for the Northeast. This time winds up to 50 miles an hour blew across eastern parts of Washington State and Idaho yesterday, downing trees and power lines. This woman was told to evacuate, and she didn't hesitate.
And I grabbed the tea set and the architectural plans for the house and the most important papers and my little file cabinet. Put it right by in the daughter's cello so we could get out as fast as we could.
ABC News Money Scope, Dow and NASDAQ both down in early going. This is ABC News.
Know what this Wednesday is? It's Kohl's 50% off sale, where you'll find great styles at half off throughout the store. I'm here with stylist Alexa talking about the latest trend, luxurious textures.
Think fabrics that feel soft to the touch.
Like cashmere?
Yes, sumptuous in a sweater and snuggle up in plush throws for the bed or sofa.
What about footwear?
Boots lined with fleece, very cozy.
Stay toasty at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home. This Wednesday only from 7 a.m. to midnight at Kohl's. Expect great things.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
If you're going to do government business in Tawnytown, Maryland, you're going to do it in English. That's what the city council's decided. Supporters say it's to promote unity and to save money on things like translators, and that's fine with this resident.
You're paid with George Washington's. You need to speak English.
Opponents worry, though, it'll leave the town vulnerable to a discrimination suit. Well, electricity is still spotty in Iraq, but if you have the juice, you can go online.
Relentless violence and curfews give young Iraqis limited opportunities to socialize. Many have turned to the internet. 22-year-old Khaled and a friend started a chat room at BaghdadForever.net. The first rule in our chat, he says, never discuss politics or religion. Khaled is not allowed out after 6 p.m., so this is the only way he can meet people. Thank God for the internet, he says. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Baghdad.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, students and parents at Francis Howell High School are being reassured that every precaution is being taken to keep the school safe. Jim Joyce, the director of communications for the Francis Howell School District, says a threatening message was found written on a bathroom stall at the high school.
We take those kinds of things very seriously, and we investigate them. And the investigation is currently underway to determine the source of the graffiti.
The message reportedly said, "Don't come to school on Monday, Columbine." Some parents did keep their children out of school yesterday, but Joyce encourages all students to come to school today. He says the student or students responsible for the threatening message will be disciplined. Two North County men are jailed on charges of copper piping theft. 19-year-old Kareem Tyler and 28-year-old Willie Payne Jr. are each charged with four counts of second-degree burglary, three counts of stealing under $500, and one count of stealing $500 or more. Starting in late October, the men allegedly stole copper piping from four vacant homes that were being remodeled. Tyler and Payne are being held on $5,000 bond apiece. Finally this hour, Congressman Todd Akin is concerned with the direction of the war in Iraq now that Democrats are in control of Congress. Akin says pulling out too soon could lead to, quote, terrorist venom toward the United States, unquote. President Bush met with a bipartisan panel yesterday to examine the future strategy for the war. He says he had a really good discussion with the Iraq study group and looks forward to getting the group's final report probably in the next month. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3 days, 2 nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS, 877-57-VEGAS. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Breakfast at Sonic. There is heavy fog, some rain, and wet roads throughout the metropolitan area, so use caution and give yourself extra time and slow down. Southbound 170 at Page, that accident's been cleared, but traffic's still stacked up to St. Charles Rock Road. Southbound 270 at Manchester, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Laclede Station, look for slow traffic there. And there are a number of other areas going on where they have road construction, so just use caution, give yourself a break. All your roadways into the downtown via the Poplar Street Bridge, King Bridge, and the Eads Bridge, you can expect some final delays from the morning push. Other than that, just use caution to slow down through the work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Breakfast at Sonic. Drive into Sonic this morning for the steak, egg, and cheese burrito. Thinly sliced steak, egg, and cheese wrapped in a warm tortilla It's a hearty way to start your day that's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cloudy, 50% chance of rain today with a high around 50. This evening, rain continuing with a low in the mid-40s. For Wednesday, windy rain with a high in the upper 40s. Wednesday evening, windy, cooler, occasional rain till early morning, then snow after midnight. Light snow accumulations are possible with a low in the mid-30s. And on Thursday, blustery, mostly cloudy, chance of snow early in the morning, and chance of snow and rain mix throughout later morning hours with a high in the lower 40s. Currently, we have 46 degrees and rain. Lambert Field is reporting 45, fog and drizzle as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And this hour, as we are taking a look back on the election results from a week ago, the impacts all across the country, we need to talk about something else, something unexpected. We had health care that we dealt with this morning. We also talked about the minimum wage. Just 77% said yes in the state of Missouri, along with other six other states that passed raising of the minimum wage. Let's talk about marijuana. Let's talk about what happened with marijuana legislation all across this country. My guest this morning to facilitate that conversation is Bruce Merkin. He's the Director of Communications with the Marijuana Policy Project, and he's joining us from San Francisco. Bruce, good morning.
Yes, hello. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. If you were giving an assessment of the impact of the marijuana legislation from sea to shining sea in this past election cycle, what kind of a grade would you give it?
I'd give it a B. I would say mixed but hopeful. Maybe a B minus. We certainly didn't win everything, but we showed signs of progress pretty much all across the board. You know, this has been a long struggle, and let's face it, you know, making social change, we're talking about a policy prohibition of marijuana that's been in place for about 70 years in this country. It doesn't change overnight. But we had, for example, in the state of Nevada, a record number of people, 44% of the electorate, voting to completely throw out the current system and put marijuana under a system of taxation and regulation similar to what we do with alcohol.
Explain that. When you say completely throw out the system, what does that mean in Nevada?
Well,
what is the system there?
What we have in this country, and there's variations from state by state, of course, is that marijuana is illegal to possess, to grow, to sell if you want it, and 100 million Americans have used marijuana, according to federal government statistics. You have to buy it from criminals. What we proposed in Nevada was do away with that system entirely and treat marijuana roughly like we do alcohol. Have licensed, regulated producers, licensed, regulated merchants who would have a whole lot of rules that they have to go by. They have to check ID and not sell to kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and put it under a system of reasonable regulation and common sense controls.
Surely this didn't come from the legislature. This had to be an initiative.
No, this was a ballot initiative, and my organization was instrumental working with local folks in Nevada in getting it on the ballot. Through the signatures of about 87,000 ordinary citizens.
And how was this election, how did the opposition respond to this? And what kind of money did they spend in it? We're going to have some more of this conversation with Bruce Merkin, Director of Communications with the Marijuana Policy Project in San Francisco. We're talking about issues that were impacted in this past election cycle. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Tula, tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, 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 tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My conversation this morning is with Bruce Merkin. He's the Director of Communications with the Marijuana Policy Project. He's joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about marijuana initiatives all across the country from last week's election results. And Bruce, we're talking about what happened in Nevada. 44% of the people said yes to the idea of legalization of marijuana, in at least legalized possession of up to an ounce for someone over the age of 21 in Nevada. What kind of campaign was run against this initiative?
Well, you know, the usual suspects all lined up. The White House flew the drug czar in and a couple of his deputies a couple of times to campaign against it. And at one
what does
point,
that tell you? What does that tell you that the White House did that?
Well, you know, it tells us a couple things. One is that they're afraid of reform. And number two, they don't mind using our tax dollars to tell Americans how to vote.
Does it
of course, we'll never know how much they spent because they have repeatedly refused to file any of the usual campaign finance disclosures for any of these activities. You know, if we contribute to a ballot initiative like we did in Nevada, like we've done in a couple other places, we report it. You know, there are forms that you have to fill out for the state secretary of state or whoever to disclose how much you spent or contributed to a campaign. The White House goes into these states, campaigns against state ballot initiatives. They don't disclose anything, and they claim that they're exempt. And at this point, nobody's been able to force them to make those reports. So we don't know how much they spent against this thing.
And in terms of this being a statewide ballot, is this the first statewide ballot that you've been able to get on in a state, or normally are you working with cities?
Well, there have been over the years a handful of statewide initiatives, a couple of which we've been involved with, some of which predated the existence of our organization. What's interesting about this one is it tied with Alaska 2 years ago for the all-time highest vote percentage for a measure to replace prohibition with regulation. We have, as you mentioned, though, done a lot of work in cities and counties, and there were a number of local initiatives on the ballot this past November, all of which passed overwhelmingly. They were basically measures on the city level to instruct local law enforcement to make adult private marijuana offenses their lowest priority. The laws usually exist on the state level, so a city can't change the laws, but they can tell their local police, hey, guys, this is not important. Concentrate on the violent crime. Concentrate on the robberies and the murders and the rapes. And, you know, don't waste your effort on somebody simply lighting up a little marijuana.
And, okay, so they flew the drug czar into Nevada to defeat this. They had people coming in to speak against it. What was on the other side of the issue? How was the campaign run on your side of the issue?
Well, we had a very strong grassroots get out the vote effort. We had an army of volunteers in Las Vegas and Reno and fanning out around the state, and we did also spend some money on TV ads and tried to take our case to the folks, the voters of Nevada, because we did, you know, we knew that it was an uphill shot to win this thing this time around. but this is part of an education process.
What did you say what did you say in 60 seconds to a television watcher about why they should support this?
Well, two things. Number one, our current marijuana laws don't work. If the idea was to stop people from using marijuana, according to the government, 100 million Americans have used it. Or to put it another way, since we banned marijuana in 1937, use has gone up at least 2,000%. But what our laws do is give an exclusive franchise to criminals and gangs, people that we can't control, that you can't license. So the result is marijuana is available on any street corner, in any high school, places where you don't want it. And think about this, Liz. If you walk into just about any store that sells cigarettes, you see a great big red and yellow sign that says, under 18, no tobacco, we card. You ever seen a drug dealer with a sign like that? So the message that we went to Nevada voters with is, listen, this is here, like it or not, let's put it under some reasonable controls and stop wasting billions of dollars jailing people who choose to unwind at the end of the day with marijuana instead of a martini.
How do you measure the additional, let me ask it this way, aren't there additional health care costs that we should be concerned with by broadening our scope, if you will, to getting people who are not using marijuana right now to trying marijuana? Aren't there health care costs that we'll have to factor into our economy? Because there are extraordinary health care costs that come with the result of the legalization of alcohol.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things to be said about that. One is, in fact, if you look at the evidence, and this has actually been studied quite extensively, there is very little evidence that criminal penalties make much difference at all in the levels of use. If you look, for example, at the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess and purchase small amounts of marijuana from regulated stores, their rates of marijuana use and drug use in general are between a third to a half lower than ours.
Yeah, but they have health care and far less problems than we have.
Oh, and I wish we did too, but yep. that's another issue.
No, I just mean it.
The notion that you end prohibition and put it under a regulated system is going to mean suddenly millions of people lighting up who never did is simply not true. There's no evidence for that. But what is true is that marijuana, if you compare it to other quote-unquote recreational drugs, is by any standard the least dangerous. It's the least addictive. It's the least toxic. Compared to alcohol, it's orders of magnitude less toxic, orders of magnitude less likely to provoke violence or aggression. Let's face it, a lot of the health care costs associated with alcohol have to do with people getting drunk and acting crazy, stupid, and violent. And that simply doesn't happen with marijuana.
But in terms of the health care costs that are connected to use of marijuana, have there been studies that can tell us that?
You know, it's very hard to tease out because most people, of course, don't use just one substance. A lot of people who smoke marijuana also do cigarettes or drink or whatever. And the same, you know, the same with alcohol, the same with cigarettes. So it is somewhat difficult to tease out. What has been shown quite clearly is that there is no change in life expectancy or death rates for people who use marijuana. Unlike cigarettes, for example, which will absolutely shorten your life, there's been never been any evidence that happens with marijuana.
With respect to the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes, in particular glaucoma or chemotherapy, were there issues on ballots in the country in this last election cycle that would allow for that? And if so, how did they fare?
There was one statewide medical marijuana initiative in the very conservative state of South Dakota, and it lost narrowly, 52-48. Again, the whole state establishment came out against it. The attorney general campaigned and Frist frankly lied through his teeth.
And what were the arguments what were the statements that they were making in response to the medicinal use of marijuana?
you know, it was really rather desperate. They tried to say that we can't do this. It will flood our state with marijuana. It's not really just for patients. It'll legalize it for everybody. When in fact there's now a lot of accumulated data from the 11 states that have medical marijuana laws, some of them enforced as long as 10 years, where none of that stuff has happened. And in fact, right next door to South Dakota in the state of Montana, there's been a medical marijuana law enforced for 2 years, and the man who runs that program for the state of Montana said there have been no problems here. None of this is true. But unfortunately, the fear factor was enough to spook the voters in South Dakota.
Are you encouraged by the difference between the yes and no?
Well, you know, when it's that close, you always have reason for hope. Obviously, it's more fun to win than to lose in any election. I'm sure there's a lot of Republicans around the country who are understanding that right now.
Clearly.
But we came very close in what we knew from the polling would be difficult, and that this was, you know, a conservative state with a lot of hot-button social issues on the ballot: abortion, same-sex marriage. So certainly all of the most conservative, socially conservative voters we knew were going to turn out, which is a difficult environment. So we're optimistic. And, you know, again, an interesting thing happened in California, in a town in the northern part of the state called Albany. There was a measure on the ballot. And remember, California is a state that's had a law permitting medical use of marijuana since 1996. The town of Albany in Northern California voted to allow a medical marijuana dispensary to set up and serve patients. We have, in states that have these laws, people are very comfortable with them and realize that they really do help a lot of very sick people.
We will be back. I'm talking to Bruce Merkin, Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project, joining us from San Francisco. And we're talking about last week's election and its impact on marijuana initiatives, ballot initiatives. Stay with us.
Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. Her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New two-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a little something to help you get through the day, if it could. It was more than a tragedy, emotions be great.
grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky, we try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS, to the habits of you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or dies, breathes or stops? All this judgment's on other lives, needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are assessing the results a week later from the election, 2006 midterm election. And my conversation this hour is with Bruce Merkin, Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project, joining us from San Francisco. And welcome back, Bruce. Let me get to a caller or two here. Zach, you have a question for my guest, Bruce Merkin.
Yes, Liz, I'm really enjoying you, Bruce, and the information that you're sharing with Liz's listening audience. But you hit back on 1937 when they illegalized marijuana. And I'm told then that the pharmaceuticals and chemical companies did the lobbying around that because of the medicinal purposes, as well as the hemp factor with marijuana, and allowing people to make clothes even out of that particular substance. But I'm for legalizing that. I think it will minimize a lot of this petty stuff that throw a lot of young people and people per se in jail for their per se usage. And how is that law in California coined where the people can be on their properties and do a doob or two?
Okay, well, you brought up a number of things here. Let me try and take them one at a time. First of all, the law in California, it is still illegal to possess or grow marijuana unless you are a medical patient meeting the qualifications of the law. But the penalties are quite minor. California is a quote-unquote decriminalized state. If you simply possess less than an ounce of marijuana, it's a $100 fine. Penalties go up for more than that, or if you're selling or whatever.
Do penalties go up if they keep catching you?
You know, I don't believe so unless you cross the one-ounce threshold or unless there's other charges involved or unless you're selling or something like that.
And was that as a result of a initiative?
Well, that was actually done through the legislature many years ago in the late 1970s, back when I was in college, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. But we do have, as I mentioned, a law in California that allows you to use, possess, or to grow a small amount of marijuana if you're seriously ill and have your doctor's recommendation. And the best estimates are that there's at least 100,000 Californians taking advantage of that law right now.
And with respect to the history of the criminalization of marijuana, I've heard a number of different parts of that history. Some include the paper manufacturers. Some include people competing against J. Edgar Hoover. What is the history of the criminalization?
Well, you know, there is a bit of a lot of that. It's certainly true, and it's hard at this point to go back and necessarily prove everybody's motivations, but what is clear is that the newspaper publisher, William Randolph Hearst, his newspapers ran a lot of hysterical anti-marijuana stories, and he did have timber interests, which could potentially be face competition from the hemp industry. So there's certainly potential economic conflict of interest there. Interestingly, the American Medical Association testified against the ban in 1937. It was pushed very aggressively by a guy named Harry Anslinger, who was the first director of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. And some of the stuff that was being said was, I mean, it was hysterical, it was inaccurate. It was saying, you know, smoke marijuana, it will make you insane and violent, which is simply not true.
There was also a racism component to it.
I was just about to get to that, because this was a drug that was largely associated with two groups of people, Mexican immigrants and blacks.
Well, and in particular, black musicians, African musicians.
Right, musicians. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the early anti-marijuana propaganda was just incredibly racist and very much a sort of, you know, this will endanger your innocent white daughters because these drug-crazed, dark-skinned people will rape them. You know, it really was that bad. And there was a lot of that.
And there was also, I mean, and it wasn't simply newspapers spreading this hysteria. It wasn't simply people out on the street passing on racist legacies of information. But we also had people in high positions saying that marijuana makes people of African descent feel as good as a white man.
Yeah, I mean that was a statement attributed to Harry Anslinger, head of the Federal Narcotics Bureau, who was the person really who most aggressively pushed for a national ban on marijuana. It's really just astonishing, you know, from the perspective of 2006 that people would even say things like this in public, and sometimes, frankly, I feel embarrassed to repeat them. But the racism was rather overt, and the misinformation. What's interesting is if you look back at the original congressional hearings, they were very brief. They only went, you know, a couple of hours. And when the head of the legal counsel for the AMA testified against it, members of Congress were really quite curt and abrupt with him, and basically said, "Well, if you don't have anything useful to add, i.e., if you don't want to say what we want to hear, please wrap up."
And that was that.
And that was that. And we are now, 70 years later, dealing with the legacy of, frankly, an ill-considered social experiment that never worked very well.
Does this administration come to dealing with marijuana differently than previous administrations? Is there more aggression on the part of Bush's administration than others?
I think they are more aggressive. Certainly the current White House drug czar, John Walters, seems to be nearly obsessed with marijuana. You know, it's not by any means the most dangerous drug out there, and yet they've made it the number one priority over and over again, you know, despite the real problems with deadly and addictive drugs like methamphetamine. And as a result, they've had some criticism actually from people in their own party. Republicans like Senator Grassley of Iowa have been very critical of the drug czar. I will say, in fairness, though, that the basic policy has remained fairly constant from administration to administration, party to party. What we have, frankly, is what I call a drug war industrial complex, a sort of self-perpetuating bureaucracy that really is reluctant to step back and say, you know, we've been doing this for 70 years. It's not working. Maybe it's time to try something different.
What is the advantage to continuing this from their perspective?
Well, you know.
I mean, it's a good, safe issue, isn't it? I mean, it's a good, safe issue to be against.
I think it's a couple of things. I think for politicians, it feels safe to be tough on drugs. You know, there's a lot of easy sound bites you can get from that. I want to protect our children, all that sort of stuff. It's not true, but it sounds good. And you have, at this point, a very large bureaucracy that just is protecting its turf. You know, we have, look at some of the numbers. I mean, there are every year well over 750,000 marijuana arrests in this country. 88% of them for simple possession, by far more marijuana arrested for any other illicit drug. We have huge numbers of people involved looking for and pulling up and closing down marijuana fields, literally millions of plants seized, thousands of tons at the border. This is a huge industry. It keeps a lot of people in jobs, and they don't let go of that easily.
1-877-920-WGNU. Juanita, do you have a question for my guest, Bruce Merkin?
Yes. Well, it's like a comment. I heard the story, I think it was on 2020 or Dateline last week, and this black man, the judge gave him life in prison for smoking marijuana. He was on probation for 10 years, and he was just caught smoking marijuana. He got life in prison.
And how does that, what do you think about that?
Well, they were showing, and the Dateline man asked him, the judge, how can he sleep at night? Because he gave a white man that was in trouble, too, and on probation for 10 years, and he was in much more serious trouble than the black man was, and he never did go back to jail. And so I think that's terrible what happened to this black man. You know, just for smoking marijuana, he got life.
Thanks for your call, Juanita.
And the caller brings up a couple of important points. One is that we do have a problem, I think, of prison overcrowding in this country, in part because people who are on probation or on parole get popped back into prison for simply having been caught with a little marijuana when they didn't do anything to hurt anybody, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The other thing which probably is worth talking about is the racial disparity. We know from extensive surveys and research that blacks and whites and Hispanics use marijuana at about the same rate, but African Americans are 2.5 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession offenses, and overall black males are 13 times more likely to go to jail for drug offenses than white males.
And when you add in the disparity of the cocaine and the crack punishments, the numbers get even crazier.
Well, right. There's a whole range of issues related to this, of course. But
let me move you someplace else.
Sure.
In terms of the medical marijuana component, where is the medical industry? Where are the doctors on the use of this? Is it split right down the middle, or how is that?
It's a mixed picture. There are a number of medical and public health organizations that have come out strongly in support of permitting medical use of marijuana, including the American Public Health Association, the American Nurses Association, the American Academy of HIV Medicine, doctors who specialize in treating HIV and AIDS. The AMA has been not terribly helpful. The pharmaceutical industry is looking at making marijuana-like drugs that they can conjure up in a lab and patent and send and sell for $20 a pill.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Bruce Merkin. He's the director of communications for the Marijuana Policy Project, joining us from San Francisco. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Making a difference has never tasted so good. Find out for yourself by attending the Think Pink Breast Cancer Brunch on Saturday, November 18th from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m. at the West End City Apartments, 275 Union Boulevard. The keynote speaker will be Becky Olson, author and founder of the nonprofit organization Breast Friends. Admission is only $40, with the proceeds benefiting Komen St. Louis. Get your tickets now by calling 314-423-2222, extension 251, or visit westendcityapartments.com for more details. And remember to think pink.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. The widespread counterfeiting of everything from medicine to software to videos and music in China is leading to a deterioration of U.S. support for increasing trade. That's the warning delivered by U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez. He says China's allowing criminal operations to exist safe from prosecution goes against China's commitments on intellectual property protections made to the World Trade Organization. The U.S. has estimated that Chinese piracy has cost American businesses $2.3 billion. To emphasize the point, U.S. Customs this year nearly doubled the number of seizures of counterfeit goods arriving in the country. Officials estimate the goods confiscated in the 14,000 seizures were worth more than $150 million. Officials say some Chinese policies help fuel the piracy business. They point to China's mandate that now more than 20 foreign films can be shown each year in Chinese theaters, which allows pirated DVDs to flood the black market. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website,
www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hey, yo, caller, away!
Folks, that's the Lone Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Don't know what to put on the table? Listen to John Womack on the Internet at WGNU.net.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this morning is Bruce Merkin, Director of Communications with the Marijuana Policy Project, joining us from San Francisco. And Bruce, when we look at some of these pieces of legislation that passed in the past election cycle, some of them had to do with the decriminalization of marijuana. Is that right?
Well, what most of them did on the local level is instruct local police to make marijuana enforcement of adult possession of marijuana the lowest priority. It said, again, because most local communities don't have the ability to change state laws, which are the laws usually in place, they simply instructed their police to put less emphasis on this and more on violent crime. And we saw these passing by huge margins in places like Santa Barbara and Santa Monica, California, and also in places like Missoula County, Montana, and even Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
1-877-920-WGNU. Otis, do you have a question for my guest, Bruce Merkin?
Yes, we found out that much of the marijuana that we see around here is not coming from out of the United States, but places where down in southern Missouri and even northern Missouri, where rich people, many of them are people who criticize us down here for having a drug problem, and they're the ones who bring it. None of the young boys that I see this morning have any connections to Brazil or any other country. They're getting it from right here, and many of them have grown up and set up what would be called successful businesses selling marijuana that is grown right here in the United States, almost right under our nose, by people who turn up their nose when they come over here. But in other words, we have a good, real high-quality marijuana that's being grown in places like Perryville and Farmington and all. And I happen to know some of the white farmers who are involved. They make their money selling marijuana up to here, up to North St. Louis.
Well, the call is right. It is a very large domestic industry. Most of the marijuana consumed in the U.S. is produced in the U.S. There is some that comes from overseas, mostly from Mexico and South America, but overwhelmingly it's produced here. And again, it is this massive industry that is right now unregulated, untaxed. Who knows where the proceeds go? A Harvard economist by the name of Jeffrey Myron actually crunched some numbers on this two years ago, and put together an estimate that we spend about $7.5 billion on marijuana enforcement and would get about $6.5 to $7 billion in taxes if we taxed marijuana like we do other goods. Now, I'm old-fashioned. $7 billion is serious money to me. Especially given all the federal budget deficit and all of these things. By the way, I should mention before too much time goes on that any of your listeners who want to get more information on this can go to our website, which is mpp.org, MPP as in Marijuana Policy Project, .org, and you can look for a whole lot more information on all the stuff we've been talking about.
And in terms of the organization, Marijuana Policy Project, how did that come about?
Well, we were founded in 1995 by a couple of guys named Rob Campia, who's still our executive director, and Chuck Thomas, who simply believed that it was time to have a serious professional lobbying and advocacy organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., to work in a very professional and serious and well-thought-out way to bring about some responsible changes in our marijuana laws and have laws that reduce harm rather than cause it.
What is your next area of focus going to be legislatively?
Well, you know, we are looking very anxiously towards the new Congress as well as new state legislatures coming into session next year. We are looking now. We will no doubt be working in a number of states on medical marijuana legislation. We got a law passed through Rhode Island last year. There are possibilities in New York and some other places. And we are hopeful that we're going to have a new Congress that is a little more hospitable now that there's been some change over there.
Has there been any Congress member out there that has run on the issue of or included that in their things that they are supportive of legalization of marijuana or medical marijuana use?
Medical marijuana has actually gotten a fair amount of support. What's interesting, actually, is from the state of Tennessee, one of their new congressmen, Steve Cohen, actually sponsored state medical marijuana legislation when he was a Tennessee state senator. He got attacked for that in the Democratic primary, but it had no effect. He won the primary overwhelmingly and the general election. He's taking over the seat that had been occupied by Harold Ford, who, of course, unsuccessfully ran for Senate. And, of course, we have now an incoming House Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who has actually co-sponsored pro-medical marijuana legislation in the past. So, you know, I'm not going to promise that we're necessarily going to win everything, but at least we're at a point where we can begin to get a fair hearing, and that's all we've ever wanted.
You have a question for my guest, Bruce Merkin.
Yeah, actually, I got two quick comments, Liz. Thanks for your guest. I just wanted to say that, you know, if you get something bad, if we get this legalized, please, don't let the tobacco companies get a hold of marijuana, because I'd hate for them to do to marijuana what they've done to cigarettes. I saw a guy on C-SPAN that was debating a normal individual, and he made the comment about how addictive marijuana was, and it just made me laugh, you know, because I know no marijuana user that will stand out in the 20 below zero to get a puff on a joint like they will with cigarettes. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call.
And a good comment it is. You know, it's absolutely clear from the data that marijuana is much less addictive than tobacco. There's a small percentage who do develop a dependence. It's about 9%, as compared to more than a third for people who use tobacco. And you know, as for the tobacco companies, I don't like them either. But the thing to do, I think, is to have a good, solid set of responsible controls. You don't want Joe Camel ads or any of that sort of stuff. And we've managed to do that with tobacco. It's been difficult, but we'd be starting from scratch with regulating marijuana, and we can set up the system we want.
Where is marijuana totally legal in the world? In industrialized nations?
It's not totally legal anywhere because there are international treaties that everybody has signed that make that essentially impossible. The closest is the Netherlands, where it's officially still illegal, but there are written policies that basically, quote-unquote, tolerate possession and sale of small amounts by regulated stores. So if you are an adult living in Amsterdam or one of the other cities in the Netherlands, you can, in fact, go and buy about an eighth of an ounce of marijuana from a licensed, regulated merchant who is not allowed to sell any other drugs, not allowed to let young people on their premises, and it works. What they've done is they've separated marijuana from hard drugs entirely, and their rates of hard drug use are much lower than ours.
But no other country is willing to do that?
Not at this point.
Mm-hmm. Let me get to another caller. Alfred.
Yes, I would like to ask you, guest, if you get your way with the marijuana law that you want, what's next, crack, cocaine, or what other kind of drug? You know, you walk before you can run.
Thanks for your question. And Alfred raises a question that a lot of people have, that if you legalize marijuana, if you make marijuana illegal, then crack cocaine is right next and meth right behind it.
Absolutely no reason that needs to be the case. And certainly speaking for my organization, the Marijuana Policy Project doesn't deal with any drug other than marijuana. We have no interest in any other drug other than marijuana. But the fact is, you could make the same argument about alcohol. If alcohol is legal, you have to legalize marijuana. Well, you don't. We haven't for 70 years. What we need are laws that bear some rational resemblance, rational relationship to the danger of the drug you're talking about. You know, crack, methamphetamine, they are whole orders of magnitude greater in danger and addictiveness. The right policy for them may be something entirely different than the right policy for marijuana. I don't have the answer for that. I know what makes sense for marijuana.
Well, can we look at heroin when they created an alternative for heroin?
Well, you know, it's an issue that really bears discussion, and I will tell you very frankly, it's not my area of expertise. I try to talk about the things I actually know about, which in this case is marijuana, and I'll leave heroin and the other things to people who actually have expertise in that area.
And Bruce Merkin, I'm going to let that be the last word, Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on my show.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to do it.
Okay.
Glad to come back anytime.
All right. Take care, Bruce.
All right. You take care.
My name is Liz Brown, and this is The Wake Up Call, and I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening, and stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile,